Blog Talk Radio.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
I'm a ghost.
tough, I get by without love. Drowning my sorrows, avoiding tomorrows, kinda felt that I just had enough. You light up my face with your jokes and your smiles, and the way that you came every night. Don't know what you got, but I'm sure that I found you. Could be wrong, but it sure feels right. Well, I feel so happy that you're here with me. Somewhere where I've known, I've loved you with nothing, but I guess that was just meant to be.
Right, there we go. The Babies. There we go. Back on my feet again. Oh, that's an old, good old classic tune. But hey, it's your host, Ron Rick, and this is Crazy Nation Radio. I hope everybody's having a great evening tonight. We're going to rock another song or two or three or four. If you have something on your mind you want to throw out there before we get into the actual show, throw it out there. I'll play anything that comes in front of me. I don't care. I'm a pretty easy guy to get along with, but we're going to throw a Santana song up here just for the fun of it. What the fuck? It's Friday night. It's going to be Saturday soon.
Give me your heart, baby. rock rhythm on your radio. And you will feel the turning of the world. So soft to the slow, starting you round.
Every time I think of you, it always turns out good. Every time I've held you, I thought you understood.
Baby, I'm strong, I'm going out. Thank you. boys, we are the glad that I love them.
Lowe's knows the best deals are the ones that keep on giving. So shop.
In the corner of the bar, there stands a jukebox with the best of country music, old and new. You can hear your five selections for a quarter, and somebody else's songs when yours are true. I got good Kentucky whiskey on the counter, and my friends around to help me ease the pain. To some button-pushing cowboy plays that love song, and here I am just missing you again. Please, mister, please don't play B-17. It was our song, it was his song, but it's over. Please, mister, please, if you know what I mean, I don't ever wanna hear that song again.
If I had a dime for every time I held you, though you're far away, me, I could swear I'd be the richest girl in Nashville, maybe even in the state of Tennessee. But I guess I better get myself together, 'cause when you left, you didn't leave too much behind. Just a note that said, I'm sorry, by your picture, and a song that's weighing heavy on my mind. Please, mister, please don't play B-17. It was our song, it was his song, but it's over. Please, mister,
60.
It won't matter anyhow. This morning echo says we sinned. Well, it was what I wanted now.
Else, man. So anyway, but I got one more on the deck. I'm gonna throw up to you. We're gonna get starting this show rocking on, and we'll do what we got to do. But anyway, here's an oldie but goodie, something everybody heard. I hate to resurrect it, but hey, y'all asked for it and I produced, so here you go. Check this young lady out.
Since I left my baby behind, don't move by you. Saving nickels, saving dimes, working till the sun don't shine. Looking forward to happier times, don't move by you.
I'm going back someday, come what may.
fishing boat when their sails afloat. If I could only see that familiar sunrise through sleepy eyes, how happy I'd be.
There you have it. Crystal Gayle back in 1977. God bless her. Oh, I was 11 years old, Crystal. You, your blue eyes and your long hair. Woo! Jesus. Good thing I wasn't older. But anyway, welcome to the show, folks. It's Crazy Dates Radio. Yeah, I kind of ran through some songs there, didn't I? That's pretty interesting, but it was good. Good tunes, all that good stuff. Anyway, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to, before I actually play the clip that I'm planning on playing tonight, I'm just going to open the phone lines up. So if you want to get into this conversation real quick, before we get into that, we're talking about this music and then we're going to get into this actual serious shit that we'll really need to pay attention to. But anyway, anyway, I'm going to crank on the phone lines for all those out there. They're in my board. You will be brought in whether you'd like it or not. First one I'm bringing out is this one. 503.
Hello. Hello. Next, this is Libertarian next. Here. Thank you for playing my song suggestions. Good. Olivia Newton-John and Crystal Gayle.
I'm glad you're happy. Request lines are always open on Crazy Nation Radio. We'll play. Hello. You hey, what's up? Hey, man.
Hello.
Hello. We hear you, man.
Old school
hear
time for the night.
old school classic rock, old stuff. I don't even consider that rock, really. I don't know what you would call it. Kind of crazy. But I even played your song, Mike, I Want to Be a Cowboy Sweetheart.
That was that song that that little girl sung on The Voice.
That's like when amplifiers were still made with tubes.
Yep.
That's when amplifiers were born, actually, back in them days. But you didn't see much of them very big, not very big amps. Big amps didn't come until a little later on after that. But yeah. Yeah, I like listening to old good classic music. That's when it was music. That's when it made sense, they say, well, you're folks.
Yeah, the shit that's coming out today or in the last 10 years, over the last decade, how many of you think that the kids today are still going to be listening to the songs that are coming out right now?
Right, right.
No way. Exactly. No way. It's
right,
just
right.
Nothing but
no
crap
way.
Beyond more crap beyond more crap nowadays.
Well,
that's
I decided to put an album together. I think I'm actually going to do an album this year, coming up 24. I think I'm gonna do an album, get it promoted. Okay, you guys will actually see who I am, what I am, what I was, all this crazy shit about me, But it's gonna be some new rock and roll. It's gonna be something like this. Okay, now listen, these are gonna be the lyrics. Okay, yeah, listen real close. You can't make them up because they're not really easy. Okay, so here's how it's gonna go. Thank you. I want to thank the people that helped us make that album and, all the others, the next record coming out is going, shit like that.
I don't think you want to hear my redone lyrics to the song Girls, Girls, Girls by Motley Crue.
Sure, absolutely. I'm always game for new shit. All right, 236 is on here with us, too. Welcome to the show.
Not on the recording.
I redid
those lyrics.
Yeah,
I think
go ahead,
when
Joe.
I was like 15 or 17 or 17, and I redid the lyrics. And they were like, everybody was like, you were 16 and you used out of these lyrics?
Go ahead. I'm listening.
All right.
Go for it.
There you go. Finally. Where are we going? Playing music?
We've been playing music ever since I started.
All right.
Where's Ben Slinger?
Did you hear my uncle singing on the last one? My uncle, I played a song for my uncle. You'd love this one. There's another one here. Let's see which one here. I won't share. It's because I tried giving it to Lori, and she said she couldn't play it.
Well, that's Lori. That ain't me.
Yeah, I can't access it.
For some reason, I don't know why.
Posts are only for friends, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That sucks.
Yeah, that's what he says anyway. I don't know. Hang on. I got to mute this anyway. So, trust me, it's better than all the other songs you played thus far.
Me? What?
Well, since I tuned in anyway, whatever you were playing there, Garden.
So he was mellow tonight.
Yeah, I was being very, very mellow tonight. Are you insulting my rock
music? I thought you were playing some heavy metal tonight,
man. You are cussing me out. Do you what?
I thought you were playing some heavy. Yeah, you come on my show cussing me out, goddammit.
Usually I do. I admit to that. I am guilty of sin, but, man, not tonight. Not tonight. It was all fucking NPR, bro. It was all NPR music. Yeah.
NPR? What the fuck's that?
National Broadcasting Network or radio.
National
Public Radio. NPR, man. The people that talk.
Government radio.
Yeah, government radio.
Government radio.
Today, the libertarians are going to fuck you in the asshole without libertarians.
That's my fucking enemy, the government.
Libertarians aren't going to fuck anybody up the asshole without consent.
I didn't say libertarian. Did I say libertarian? Okay, well, libertarian, liberals, whatever.
Yes, you said libertarian.
They're all the fucking same thing. Fuck it. Either way, you're getting fucked. That's that. Just be used to it. If I said libertarian, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. I'm fucking high. Why? You said put a nug in, so I did, and it's history. What do you expect out of me? take painkillers and fucking smoke weed and just drink like a fish and just,
yeah, there you go.
Get it done, man.
Well, the
painkillers
work better with the weed, and the weed works better with the painkillers. That's how it works.
But you add the alcohol, and that's your ignition system, man. You know, you're singing, "This is Major Tom, the ground control." You know. But anyway, tonight, you know, that Tucker Carlson interview, I don't know how many of you heard it with Alex Jones, but it's pretty fucking good. I liked it. So I'm going to play it tonight.
I haven't yet. And the debate.
You're going to hear it tonight.
Tubing, because I got that and the GOP debate to watch.
That was a fucking hour and a half thing.
But anyway, that's the plan of
tonight.
The show tonight. What's that, Gun?
No, I just said tonight. Didn't they make a song about that, too?
Tonight.
Yeah, I can't remember the rest of it. I know I know the... course,
that's a long interview,
Ron. That's a little long, but I'm going to cut it. I'm going to cut right to it. I'm going to cut out the joke part of it and all the bullshit, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Let's get some serious shit on here.
Let's get right to it. All right. You ready to go, folks?
Oh, shit.
All right. So I'm old and fucking slow. Don't be.
Well, one thing
what's
you
got
to call George the coward to say his brother's on. He's gonna play his brother board.
Yeah, that's
you know, the coward.
If we ain't talking revolution,
Yeah, we're talking revolution. We're talking about the future, man. We thinking, Joseph. Come on,
let's go.
Here we go.
They say you want a revolution. Well, you know.
But we got to hear this commercial first. Protect our safety for your house.
Whose show was who on? Was Tucker on Alex's show or Alex on Tucker's show?
Alex on Tucker's.
You know it wouldn't be the other way around. You know that.
Tucker's more bigger. Well, you know.
Yeah.
He ain't been censored to death like Alex Jones has.
Because we do what they say now. We think they're patriots.
Yeah. Well, let's check this out, and I don't think you're going to think that anymore, but here we go.
What's up, guys? It's boy Benny. Are you a slave? It's a good question to ask. What are the signs that you might be a slave? If you can't speak freely, and what's the precursor to speaking freely? If you can't think freely... If you have to tighten your thoughts, and if you have to silence your mouth, and if you are punished for saying or doing true things, well, then you're a slave, and you don't actually live truly free. And true freedom is the desire of every human soul. And that is why it's important to have real conversations, maybe uncomfortable conversations. Maybe you're having conversations with people you're not allowed to talk to. And that's exactly what Tucker Carlson just did when he dropped the Alex Jones interview. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been looking forward to this one. Tucker Carlson went there with the man himself, who needs no introduction. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones for the first time ever. This just melted the internet. Stay free. Watch.
We're here with the world's most dangerous man, the most censored man in the English language. But honestly, when you get him in front of an outhouse in the woods, he doesn't seem so dangerous.
It's a fancy outhouse.
We have a ruling class in the United States defined by its hatreds, not its loves, not its hopes, but by its hatreds. They hate all kinds of people, large groups of people, the deplorables, the bitter clingers, America's entire blue-collar population, the unfashionable people. They're hated by the people who run our country. But no one is hated more by them than a man called Alex Jones. Alex Jones is the single most censored man in all American history. He was the first media figure in our history to be completely erased in one day, deplatformed. Alex Jones was deplatformed before it was a common term. And not just deplatformed, sued, attacked. They attempted to criminally charge him. What did Alex Jones do wrong? Alex Jones didn't rape anybody. He didn't loot Macy's. He didn't burn a police station. He didn't invent a fake cryptocurrency and loot pension funds. He didn't start a pointless war that made this country poorer and more disorganized. He didn't open the southern border. No, Alex Jones had opinions that deeply rattled the people who run America. In fact, rattled a lot of us. And I'll just confess that I first heard of Alex Jones when he questioned the official story behind 9/11. And I, speaking for myself, was deeply offended by this. I didn't take any time.
2024 is right around the corner. And if I was starting completely from scratch, meaning I didn't have any money,
any time to find out what he was saying, but I was bothered by the idea that this defining event in American history, which changed the life of everyone who lived here then, might not actually have unfolded as we were told it did. And that possibility was too destabilizing. And I remember feeling resentment toward Alex Jones for saying that. But several years later, I wound up in Austin, Texas, and through a chain of circumstances, wound up meeting Alex Jones. And I learned what everyone who has met him now knows, which is Alex Jones is not a crazy person. Alex Jones has said pretty far out things on TV from time to time, but within the bounds of, say, cable news, pretty far out. But fundamentally, Alex Jones is right about a lot of things. And in fact, that's why they don't like him. Alex Jones has an uncanny, really an amazing ability to predict events before they happen. He has called it and done it on tape again and again, to the point where it's a meme on the internet. Alex Jones, prophet, not conspiracy nut, prophet. But when you dig into Alex Jones's predictions, they are so spot on that it's remarkable. How does he do this? We're guessing there's a kind of spiritual sensitivity to Alex Jones. Maybe that's his secret. He was displaying this years before the average person in this country even thought about matters like that. Now it's pretty obvious to most people that the current war going on in this country is taking place in ways you can't see it most of the time. But 10 years ago, people were not thinking that way. Alex Jones was. And so we thought it'd be interesting to sit down and talk to Alex Jones, the man. You know, the people who run the country have really succeeded in making you disreputable. And the whole point, of course, is people won't listen to you. So we thought it'd be interesting to start with a series of on-tape predictions that you made, some of which are so precise and so prescient that it makes the hair on my arms stand up. And I'm being sincere, and our viewers are about to see what I'm talking about. Here is a list of things that you called ahead of time.
By the middle of September, with the new policies being written, you will all have to wear masks again, and so will airport employees.
It's happening. Mask mandates are officially back.
We know the Joint Chiefs of Staff wanted to blow up airliners, Baltimore Sun, or if you let some terrorist group through it, like the World Trade Center, we know who to blame. And if there was an outside threat like a bin Laden, who was a known CIA asset in the 80s.
This group and its leader, a person named Osama bin Laden.
He's the boogeyman they need.
We're looking at a giant war in February right now. I predict the Russians are going to roll in. They're already there. They're going to roll in.
With attacks across Ukraine, which is the size of Texas.
It really was the Iraqis. That's just because they're getting ready to invade Iraq. What a beautiful setup.
Those 9/11 clips are crazy. I'm actually bothered by the precision of them. I'm not accusing you of being behind 9/11. But how could you, in July of 2001, call that? You said they're going to have airliners fly into the World Trade Center and they're going to blame a guy called Osama bin Laden. Now, leaving aside what actually happened, how could you have known that?
Well, in the longer clips, because it's a multi-hour show from July 25th, 2001, I specifically walked through all the reasons and I knew that they were hyping up that we were about to be hit by Osama bin Laden. I knew that the World Trade Center had been attacked the first time and that the feds had been involved helping cook the bomb and allowing it to go forward. And I just saw a lot of the pre-programming that was happening in the media because they were on the news saying, you know, life's about to change in America. And I was reading what the RAND Corporation was saying and what the Pentagon was putting out. And I read the PNAC document from a year before, Rebuilding America's Defenses, that Dick Cheney had helped write. And it said, we need a Pearl Harbor event on the American homeland to be able to bring in this police state and this control and then expand the American empire worldwide. So hundreds of pieces of data went into that prediction.
But terrorists are going to hit the World Trade Center in July of 2001. I lived in the United States then. That was the last thing on my mind. And I lived in Washington. I know the guys who wrote the PNAC document because I shared an office with them. So I was more informed than the average person. And that was the last thing that crossed my mind in the summer of 2001. Like everyone else, I thought it was a Cessna. But how convinced were you that this was going to happen?
I was completely convinced. In fact, in the full clip of it's online, you can find it on Twitter or other places, it has been removed. I explained to people that they need to call the White House and tell the White House, we know if you allow these attacks that you're basically allowing it to happen. This is really draconian. This globalist Great Reset, New World Order takeover is a post-industrial world, cut off the resources, 90% forced depopulation, breaking civilization by design, massive wars, famine. They've already cut off a third of the fertilizer in the last year worldwide. It's estimated that'll kill a couple hundred million people. The lockdowns worldwide, not the virus, the UN admits, killed 80-something million extra people in the last 3.5 years. And so when the first world collapses, the third world dies. And then what's left of them floods us. And so the earth is being put into a countdown collapse right now. And so I'm like the fisherman.
Do this every morning to clear stuck mucus from lungs and breathe easy all day long. Short or weak breathing is easy to blame on the lungs, but that's...
When the tidal wave comes in, and I'm like, oh my God, my wife and children are about to die. And so I'm not really worried about me because I'm a man. I did this. I knew it was coming. I've been proven right. And I'm not happy I was proven right. I wish we could have gotten ahead of this and stopped it. Yeah, we have a lot of credibility now that people see that we were right. So maybe we can stop the next phase of it. But the globalists have gone from testing phase, beta test phase, into full operational now. And they say, read their writings, we are going to have a post-industrial world by 2030. We will have no personal cars by 2030. You will be eating bugs by 2030. And we will start the depopulation of 90% of the people by 2045. That is the official WF, official UN, official Club of Rome plan.
What do you mean the depopulation?
They want to bring the world population down to 500 million.
But I thought we were opposed to genocide. No or no? I guess we're not.
Well, you know, we're told now, don't have children. It's bad for the earth. And we're told all this, and Elon Musk is right and is a hero for pointing out all the actuaries show. If you don't have 2.1 children, a man and a woman, people go, well, a man and a woman can have 2.1. It's in the aggregate, folks, not billions. If a country doesn't have 2.1, 2.2 replacement rate, then you don't have people to take care of the old folks. Society collapses. And so Japan's 1.3, Italy's 1.3. They're done as cultures. America, without immigrant influx, is about 1.6. That's not viable. And I'm not just talking about white people only here, but white people are 7% of the world population, maybe 8. And so I would be sad if the last of the Eskimos were dying. I'm sad that the Japanese, within 100 years, there might be 20 million of them. I'm now saying we need to call the White House and say, you've let tens of thousands of military-age men from the Middle East in. We know a lot of them are Hezbollah and Hamas. The FBI has confirmed that. And so when there's big terror attacks, which I believe will probably happen in America, we're not going to have Homeland Security get more funds and more power and grope us at the airports more. I want prison time for the agencies and groups that have allowed this. And I want Biden. I want Biden impeached now. Okay? That's why we got rid of McCarthy. It needs to happen. Leaving the border open when there is a clear and present danger of this going on and when we're very close to war with Iran. We go to war with Iran, they're going to activate Hezbollah. Okay? And then that they make Hamas look like choir boys. And so you want to hear a prediction here. It's a probability, not a pure prediction. But, I mean, if we go to war with Iran, guaranteed sleeper cells activate. It'll make what happened in Israel look tame in comparison. I'm not lessening what happened there. So I'm simply – and then again, where's the logic? The government that allows that to happen should go to prison.
I agree.
But instead, like 9/11, they're going to get more power when it happens. Mark my words. So
you can't have guns because we let in foreign sleeper cells to kill you.
Exactly.
When you got deplatformed, and to this day, no one has ever been more aggressively censored, I don't think, than you. I've apologized to you this in person before. I was in Labrador on a fishing trip and missed the entire thing. I was literally out of cell range. I didn't know what happened, but I got back and I read about it. I felt like it was a major moment in the history of the American media. I don't think anybody defended you when that happened. Anybody with any kind of audience.
For me, when Tim Cook admitted that he met on the weekend in August of 2017 with the other big tech heads, and they made the decision to curate like it's a museum and take me off. It was hundreds of platforms. I mean, it wasn't just all the big ones. It was everything from LinkedIn to our bank accounts being taken away to everything ensuing that week and over the next month. And I knew that I was a test case. And I wasn't taken off those platforms for any demonstrable reason. It was the questioning the school shooting thing that came later. They went and kind of dredged that up from my past, just questioning it a few times, blew that up after I'd been deplatformed and said I was deplatformed for that. But if you check the record, I wasn't. And so once they deplatformed me, it made the show in ways only get bigger with people actually going to InfoWars.com and finding me on local radio stations and things. So then they panicked and said, okay, let's look at his record and create more of a reason that he's being taken off. So they took things out of context from 5-6 years before, blew them up as a current thing out of context, and deceptively reported on what I'd said to create a straw man argument to then facilitate the reason.
What's so crazy is if you asked just a cross-section of Americans who's responsible for the Sandy Hook massacre of kids at the school, no one remembers the name of the murderer.
Adam Lanza.
Okay, thank you. I didn't remember. Alex Jones. They effectively blamed you for a school shooting that you were not present at.
I have people come up to me in the parking lot. You can ask my security guy. He's been there when people walk up and go, why'd you kill those kids? And then you go, I didn't kill those kids. And they go, yeah, you did. And so that is what this has turned into. But this is bigger than me. I want people to understand something, that the mullahs in Iran and the Ayatollah are congratulating Hamas that just killed around 1,000 or more innocent Israelis, many of them women, children, disabled people, in a vicious, evil sneak attack. They are on there, Hezbollah and Hamas, mainly Hamas, but it's Hezbollah funding it out of Iran, are literally posting videos of them cutting people's heads off and killing children and massacring innocent people. They're allowed to have their Hezbollah accounts and their Hamas accounts. The Ayatollah is able to congratulate what these people have done. And I am still banned. And I'm not mad at Elon Musk. I understand I've been so demonized with the general public. He's barely able to, keep Twitter going right now. I really appreciate what he's done. I admire him. I think he's done a lot of great work. And I see him moving in the right direction. So a lot of people attack Musk on Twitter. I trend all the time. Hey, if you're such an absolutist on free speech, bring back Alex Jones. I understand that if he did that, the ADL and others would really be able to probably shut down Twitter. So I understand that he needs to go through a process before he does that. So people get mad at Twitter for not...
Why the ADL? I'm not the world's expert on your career, but I know you. I've never heard you say a single anti-Semitic thing and an anti-Israel thing. Why would the ADL be against you? I don't think anyone's even called you an anti-Semite.
Well,
unless I'm missing something.
I mean, what goes on is the left forever called everybody a racist if you were just a conservative or pro-Second Amendment or pro-life or thought we ought to have a border. And that didn't work anymore to call people racist. And so the ADL gets all this big liberal donations. And so they go out and then police and take people's sponsors and target them just by the ADL calling.
How did you get off metformin?
I use the 10-second peanut trick.
What's the 10-second peanut trick?
It's a delicious way to
now calling up sponsors. Sponsors get scared and drop.
So, but if you give up on that, you also sell bourbon.
Man, you are really being nice here today, Tucker.
I hate selling products, but I like this product because I love the name.
Look at this right here. This, my friends, is a gift to your crew because I know they drank. I had some drinks with them last night when we called Brian Stelter.
Some of the crew does drink. Yes, that's true.
So this is for you. We got a few other bottles for you out there. Somebody can't even open this thing. It's sealed. Maybe it got locked on the airplane. Anyways, can somebody open this? I'm like, here, embarrassing.
No, hold on. I think the center thing. I don't travel with guns very often, so I don't know how to operate these.
I'm gonna smash this son of a bitch open. All right, goddammit. Look at that. It doesn't come like this in stores. I'm gonna kill the people that came up with this.
Walk that into the studio. We're rolling.
Tucker, don't kill me.
All right, we're rolling.
I don't know that plug should be that. Oh, my God. Got a lot of points when you get to here.
Okay, that was amazing. This whiskey does not come with a hatchet to open it or a black light. But does it come with a black light?
No, but if you have one.
But if you have a black light, by the way, I don't think I've ever sold a product on the air, but I'm proud to
We appreciate you supporting
us. Okay, come on, I'm totally all about it. what does that say? I'm going to let you read that.
It says, thus the tyrants, meaning death to tyrants.
Yeah. I recognize that phrase. I think it was uttered in Ford's Theater.
Thank you, brother. Well, enough of that. I didn't mean to turn it to Who's Extravaganza.
So the
book is more important. But anyway.
So the last topic I want to hit with you, I could go on for hours. We're trying to get the audience of the social media app to believe that you can have longer content because it was, you know, originally designed for very short, you know, brain droppings. But
well, I think you've succeeded. The biggest English-speaking show ever. I mean, it's bigger than Jimmy Carson, bigger than Joe Rogan. Congratulations, showing that freedom is successful.
Well,
and
thank
popular.
You. Well, we're grateful that it's a.
No, I'm grateful to you.
We have free speech, but I anyway. But here's my question. So, all of the trends that you describe, I think very credibly, and I'm a little bit surprised.
But despite that, he's got 60% against all other Republicans. He's 15, 20 points ahead of Biden. It's backfired, but the deep state's not going to stop. So you said to Trump several times in that 400 million views or whatever you got, biggest show ever, you know, you said to him, well, isn't the next thing them trying to kill you? And he's so confident he doesn't want to think about that.
Whereas
I admire someone that's that confident, you know, the deep state does kill people. And that's their only next move because this is failing. And I think they're going to kill Biden too. Or I think they're going to try to, what you said in the speech again before the last one I talked about like a month ago, you said, I don't see Biden and Trump being candidates. You see the system, the media going after Biden, and he deserves it, but they were covering it up until now. Now they're covering the laptop. Now they're covering attacking the dog. Now they're covering, you know, all of his senility, all the corruption, the Chinese spies.
Attacking a dog. What a pig he is. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I was told that by Secret Service and by people that, let's just say, work with them. And I'm going to leave it at that. But I actually have a contact for you. I'd like to be able to hear it from them. But when this is over, I'll let you actually hear it from yourself. I think they'll tell you off record. I think they'll want to talk to you. But, yeah, he is completely out of his mind. He wanders around for the entire 2.5 years. It's getting worse. Naked in the White House. In the middle of the night, doesn't know who he is. They have to give him a bunch of drugs, a bunch of amphetamines in the morning. Then they've got to drug him at night. Sometimes he's got to, though, he'll like be out for the morning for a while and then comes back out at night for a ball. That's when there's a real problem.
He is on drugs. I have established that. I know someone who witnessed it. I'm not guessing at this. I know someone personally who witnessed him taking amphetamines. And this was during the 2020 election.
So how's this going to go? That's huge. I know you don't play games.
No, I don't play games. This was he's a makeup artist.
You said the NSA spying on me high level. And then a month later they went, yes, we're spying on Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, I know.
So you don't make stuff up. And so what I'm saying here is Biden's a liability for him. Trump's a liability. What do? They have a right winger, they'll claim, assassinate Biden. And they'll have a left-winger assassinate Trump. That then gets the country even in more of a fight against each other. And then they put in Gavin Newsom and, you know, somebody like Mike Pence or who knows. But I really think the next 13 months is the most critical time, not just in American history, but world history. Because if they can bring down America, they're going to bring down the world. And then you've got the escalation. Remember a year ago, Biden said, you can't give F-16s and Abrams tanks and cruise missiles to the Ukrainians. That's World War III. Now they're doing it. So as Russia wins that war, as Colonel McGregor documented a few months ago with you, NATO is escalating. Well, that leads right to the war. So we're so close. And that fundamentally makes me so mad. This transcends politics. Since when do Democrats love war? Since when do Democrats love the intelligence agencies? They love them now. And so really the Democratic,
so dark.
Just
so
like the
dark.
Republican Party is a beachhead for sanity and populism. It's not perfect, but it's a beachhead. The Democratic Party is totally turned over to evil. That's why I thought RFK Jr. was so refreshing, but they're shutting him out of the primary process. They're blocking him. And so now he's going to run third party, which will take away from Trump. Most experts agree. I know Trump's people have looked at it. They think so.
Of course.
So that's very, very sad. China looks in and sees this diverse culture, and they say, we're going to use that to split the country up and balkanize it. And that's what they've done. And so Communist China, along with the Southern Poverty Law Center, and the ADL and all these groups see America's weakness, and they're literally coming in saying white people are inherently bad because of the color of their skin. They inherently have cheated people. They've hurt people. White people invented racism. None of that's true. It's really just tribalism. And then they organize all these other groups into race-based groups to then unify them under the Democratic Party to attack who is left that tends to be more conservative. And that is some white people in this country, though they're panicking because more and more blacks are voting Republican. more and more Hispanics are voting Republican. They're starting to figure this out. So now they're in panic mode to bring in totally disenfranchised third world populations who are refugees from the multi-year lockdowns in Africa, Latin America, and Asia and the Middle East. They then bring them to UN camps, brainwash them, then bring them to our border, brainwash them more, then send them into the United States, and then literally hold them for years at facilities while they're indoctrinated to be this new political underclass that's then going to be turned loose on America. And that's why you see Democrats giving illegal aliens the right to vote in their cities, giving them driver's license. That's why you see them passing laws. They can be police officers. So they are importing a new enforcement class against the American people, and they're setting it up along racial lines, not us. They're making it racial, just like Hitler made what he did racial. So it's the left and the think tanks and the communist Chinese that look at the U.S. and have seen our weakness as race, and they are exacerbating. That's why they tell people, hey, you can be homeless anywhere. You can crap on the street, needles, throw your garbage everywhere. Drug dealers can sell you drugs. We're going to give the homeless all this government funding. Liberal groups come in and farm and milk each homeless person and skim a big cut of the money off the top. It's a crop, but then you, a cash crop. But then we see that and we think it's all over. There's nothing we can do to demoralize us and make us give up. And even though I'm conscious of this, even though I know this, it's still at a DNA level. I'm like, I got to go to the country. I got to get out of here. I've got to.
Earlier this year, I launched my reelection campaign, and I've been under attack by the radical left ever since. I am their number one target this cycle. They hate that I successfully champion our conservative values and bring the fight directly to the left. Will you please make a donation today and show your support?
I've got to get out of here. I've got to separate myself from this. But then when they release this toxic, cultural, poisonous gas, they push us out of those areas and they get the main infrastructure.
Yes.
To then organize that, cut off the food and supplies to that group they have, and then tell them, the reason you're doing bad is not BlackRock and the WF and Bill Gates. It's all those evil people in the countryside. They're all white supremacists and terrorists and racists. Let's go get them, because the last group they don't control is rural people that are self-sufficient. And so I get going to the countryside, protecting your children. That's the Holy Grail. The problem is you got to have one foot in each. You got to go back and fight in the city for the infrastructure, for the government. You got to give people hope, while also building a backup operation with farming and ranching and self-sufficiency. So that's why the WEF and the UN are coming in Ireland and in areas of Asia and in the Netherlands and saying, by 2030, 80% of your cows have got to be dead. And they just banned like 30% this year in the Netherlands. And it didn't matter people were 80% against it in polls. It didn't matter. They sent the military in against the peaceful farmers that were just protesting, just like the peaceful truckers in Canada got brutally attacked. And so they're all WEF globalist alumni that the big banks on record brag. They've penetrated the cabinets, to quote Klaus Schwab. They put their operatives in to cut off our energy, demoralize us, release the hardened criminals, put the political activists in prison, continue to cut off the resources to make an angrier world. Klaus Schwab says, we're going to make the world collapse. We're going to have everybody turn against each other. We're going to blame the political classes that we own and control. And then when we're done, we'll bring in our new solution. But first, they have to demolish the cultures and societies that we had before with the fentanyl, with the open borders, with the demoralization. And then they bring in their next phase, which is a high-tech, cashless society, robot drone-controlled nightmare. More than half of the U.S. in their official U.N. maps that they've had for more than 25 years, they're in some of my first films, show half the U.S. off limits to humans. All cars will have to have GPS. Everybody by law will have to have a cell phone at all times. Australia just did this last year. You tried to push it through. And that's the admitted global U.N. standardized plan, where you don't leave your house without a cell phone. Every car is robot kill switch, GPS controlled. California is moving to ban all the, quote, classic cars. That's any car that doesn't have a digital ignition. And they admit it's for control. So if people think things are bad now, the straitjacket, the ball and chain is going on. It's all being militarily run. Our military is great men and women. But at the top, our military has been globalist-trained New World Order people for at least 30, 40 years. They've got almost every general, every person under their control.
One of the things I find so striking about you, having watched you on and off over the years, and this must be a burden for you personally, but your ability to see people at a deeper level or to see things in them that are not obvious to the rest of us. And I want to give a specific example. So there's a guy called Brian Stelter who had the media show on CNN. I first met Brian Stelter when he was a high school student or a first-year college student because he would hang around the show I worked on at the time at CNN. This was 20 years ago at least. And I always thought he was awkward and weird and probably had a super creepy personal life, but I never took him seriously. There's a pretty famous clip, and I want to play it right now, of you critiquing Brian Stelter, and you take him way more seriously than I ever did, and I think you're right to. So this is a pretty famous clip of you on Brian Stelter.
Hell on earth! He wants to run your life. He wants to control every aspect of your life because he knows he is a cowardly, degenerate sack of anti-human trash. I pledge before my Heavenly Father that I will resist them every way I can. These people are the literal demon spawn of the pit of hell. Look at him. And you know what? He is better than you if you keep letting him run your life. He runs your kids. He runs the schools. He runs the banks. This guy, this spirit, this smiling, leering devil that thinks you can't see what he is your enemy. Period. All the narcissistic, devil-worshipping filth. I see you, enemy. I see you, enemy. Enemy! Enemy! You are my enemy. And I swear total resistance to you with everything I've got. Disingenuous, fake, false, brokeback, twisted, a defiler, a betrayer, a backstabber. A devil! You don't think I don't see you, Stelter? I see you. You understand me? I know what you think of me and my family. I see you right back. You understand that? You understand that, Stelter?
I've only watched that several hundred times. And I laugh every time, but I also, there's something to, if Brian Stelter had absolute power, would you and your family survive? Of course not. You wouldn't. You'd be, of course not, and neither would mine. So there's a lot that's true about what you said. How did you perceive that? The rest of us just made fun of him.
Now,
here are the top five reasons you should consider adding a Tumbler Rolling Sharpener to your kitchen tools. Unlike other sharpeners that take time to practice, the Tumbler Rolling Sharpener is...
Once they started the censorship and deplatforming, remember back then they would deny it. Oh, yeah, we're taking people off air, but it's not censorship. Now they admit, no, it's censorship. We're doing this for your own good. So he was really the face of that, and he was working for the head of CNN that was really in charge of it. It later came out. CNN currently is not in charge. They've handed it completely over to the Justice Department to quarterback, as Congress reported a few months ago with the documents. But at the time, Brian Stelter and his mini-me, Oliver Darcy, were going around calling up and harassing my sponsors, taking sponsors away, and they were going around and organizing big tech to take not just myself but many other people offline. And so he was destroying our free speech. He was taking our sponsors.
But it's crazy. I just want to restate. You are not promoting race hatred. You're against race hatred. You never have promoted that, ever. You're not promoting violence. You've never called for violence. And you've never even called for breaking the law.
And so that's why there's so much anger there, because I remember the day I did that and a few other clips that went viral. I showed all the stuff he was doing, but then the media attacked me and just clicked it out of context. But still it reverberated with people because people were sick of the corporate legacy media. So people say, well, why is he so angry? Well, it's because he's literally trying to take us off air, literally taking our sponsors. I mean, the equivalent of the Vikings 1,000 years ago in England pulling up and burning a village down. And so there he is, all sweet and liberal and cackling and laughing, but he's really an agent of anti-American totalitarianism. And so he was the front man of that. And I wanted to just simply say,
well, you're right.
I see you. I know what you're doing. So people see out of context and think, why are you being so mean to him? Well, I mean, he's literally trying to destroy my free speech, take me off air, and put my family on the street. So I'm pissed off at him.
What's interesting is, and I mean, I don't know if you want me to reveal this, but we had dinner in our barn last night and there were some drinks, And after dinner, you and my producer called Stelter on the phone. And what was so, and it was on speaker, so I listened to it. What was so interesting was, you know, you've been very clear in a very direct, pretty masculine way, I would say, about how you feel about Brian Stelter. There's not a lot of confusion about your views on Stelter after clips like that, which doubtless he's seen because he Googles himself compulsively. He was very kind of syrupy sweet with you.
And that's why I was sarcastic and told him I wanted to date him.
You did, yeah. In fact, the exact line that you had was, Brian, I'm not usually gay, but I want you.
Yeah.
And he seemed a little bit, I'm not saying he's open to it or whatever, but he wasn't shocked by
and
it.
And he's like, give me your phone number. Give me, I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And then he hit your producer up. Please give me his number right now. Let's
yeah, that
talk.
Was interesting.
But I was being silly with him. But there was also a line. He goes, oh, Alex Jones. I said, I want you to come on my show. He said, oh, you still got a show? And I went, no, you're the one that doesn't have a show.
Sorry, I said it's so,
tell him the other line.
It's so boorish to like recount conversations people were witnessing.
It was funny though.
But you said, you know, you're off TV now, but you were a real star. I mean, not on CNN, but on my show. So good. Anyway, but what was interesting was if someone had talked about you that way and then called you late night after a couple of drinks, you'd say, you know, up yours, pal. You know what I mean? Like, buzz off, or I'm not taking your call. But he kind of sucked up to you. That's a very weird, passive-aggressive posture.
And then he brags that him and Dart, I was taken off Twitter, not for the Sandy Hook stuff that came later that they focused on. Look it up. They had the former head of Twitter and the lawyer on Joe Rogan about 4 years ago. And Joe said, why did you ban Alex Jones? The lawyer goes, okay, let me open my clipboard. She goes, here's why. He was mean to Oliver Darcy. So I'm at the Capitol. They're having censorship hearings. Sundar Pichai is there. I just confronted him in the hall.
Who runs Google.
And you guys are welcome to use that if you want. And then that was at the Senate. So now they were going over to a House meeting, and there's Oliver Darcy in the line. He gets to get in. I don't even get into a hearing where they then attacked me. They'd attacked me at the last hearing, but I don't get to face my accuser. And so I get in his face. I don't threaten him, but I say, you are an evil man. You're un-American, coming after my free speech, harassing my sponsors, trying to get me off the Internet. And the last place I was on was Twitter. They'd held out. Jack Dorsey had held out. And so Jack Dorsey admitted, well, the last straw was I bullied Oliver Darcy. And so that's why I was deplatformed. Elon Musk thinks it was the Sandy Hook thing. And notice,
do you know that in most cultures, bullying Oliver Darcy would be like a rite of passage. Like you couldn't, like that would be a positive good, right?
Well, here's the thing. He's literally on Twitter taking my sponsors, calling for me to be silenced. So he's been attacking me, attacking my speech and my living. And then all I do is shove a camera in his face while he's waiting to go into the hearing for 5 minutes and say, man, you are un-American. You got some evil eyes. And I said, you really look like a piece of slime. I mean, I told him that. And
fair.
And so the point is he's a man. He's a, quote, journalist in the arena. He goes around harassing people and stalking them financially and their free speech. He'd already bragged that he'd gotten me taken off all this other stuff and that he was instrumental, which he was. And then he can't take me saying, man, you're a jerk. They're going to destroy the planet.
I believe that. Last question. Where will you be in 5 years? Are you going to stay in this country? Can you stay in this country? I mean, speaking of escalation, again, I still never figured out what your crime is, but you have been persecuted for something in an escalating way.
I got 2 subpoenas last week.
Subpoenas?
I got subpoenas on January 6th, again, on a criminal investigation.
We didn't do anything on January 6th.
And I got subpoenaed in Trump's criminal trial in Georgia.
On what ground? On what?
And then my lawyer called and said, what is this? And they said, well, we don't just want him as a witness. He's a subject. I had nothing to do with Georgia. But I'm not saying it's bad they went and challenged it. That's their right. I mean, I went and protested there. So it's just pure intimidation. So I have a problem. It's that I don't like to cut and run. I'm not the toughest guy around, but growing up in Dallas was some pretty rough people. Some big guy started a fight with me. I just couldn't back off. And I almost always won those fights or you know, went to the hospital trying. And so I decided to go down with the ship. I'm not going to leave the country. I'm not going to back down. And I'm going to continue to fight with everything I've got. I'll never sell out. I'll never give in. I couldn't give out. That's why support's critical and word of mouth, because Alex Jones is seen as a focal point, like capture the flag by the globalists. If they can shut me down, they believe they can shut anybody down. They've said that. And so it's human intelligence and human action and word of mouth. Talking about Infowars.com, my show, what I do, is a test case, almost like Stalingrad in World War II, where all these forces of the globalists keep thinking, we beat this guy at this city, at this point, at this battle, we win. And so I don't think I'm even that important. I've just been chosen as this main battle point. So all these grassroots people and people like you and other great folks are supporting me through just supporting the First Amendment. And so I've got that backing, and that enrages the globalists. So the more they throw against me, the more support I get, and it's really become a historic battle. If I'm completely manned and debanked and shut down and can't operate, only then would I try to evacuate somewhere to try to keep my show on the air. But I've looked at it, and I don't even think that that's the case. You know, once they disrupt and shut down something, it's very hard to restart it. The good news is there are so many other great talk show hosts, so many other great people that now understand this and even have perspectives better than mine, that I'm not obsolete yet. But thanks to you and thanks to Russell Brand, they're trying to now set up. And, you know, Joe Rogan's come a long way, and Steve Bannon, and countless other shows that I tune into that have high-level understanding and teach me a lot. And my head's in the game. So you're our champion, Tucker, and there are other people, you know, lesser. I know you don't want to be the top dog, but you are. That's why you're under attack. Thanks to you, I know no matter what happens to me, men and women are going to continue the fight forward into the future. But this is an Alamo situation. I'm not evacuating. I'm not leaving. I'm not going.
How'd they do at the Alamo? Do you remember?
Everybody got killed.
Oh, okay.
But that example led to a big yeah, you know, my mom's family raised Colonel Travis's son, and on my dad's side too, they were heavily involved. First Texas families, we have like Mexican land grants for our property. We still have Mexican land. We paid for 12 cents an acre, like 1825 in East Texas. You know, you have business, so it's not as cool as your place, but it's pretty cool. And the last letter he wrote on that piece of wallpaper was to one of my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers in Gonzales, Texas, saying, please take care of my little boy. But Travis knew he was going to die. But he was like, I got 10,000 troops coming in on our 200-something. We're going to give them one hell of a fight and kill a bunch of them before they can get up north for the main battle. And they killed thousands, 3,000, it's estimated, from memory, Mexican troops. And so that'd be an honor to have like 10,000 troops coming at me and I'm in the Alamo. I don't have a death wish, but man, it gets me high as a kite. And so I'm not doing what Colonel Travis did. The only reason they got beat is they ran out of ammo, basically. They had powder, but no more ball. And they were fighting with swords at the end. So those are tough men, and I don't even measure up to them. But I want to try to measure up. And so it's very exciting. It's instinctive. It's spiritual to be defending humanity and prosperity and freedom and justice against these globalist child trafficking monsters, the open border, all this evil. I mean, so my cells tell me to do this. My guts, my sinews say you're ordered to do this. And I don't feel good unless I do it. And so the bigger the attacks get, it's the old World War II saying when the planes were over the target, they didn't really have radar, but they knew the bases and the factories had flak. So they're shooting at them with artillery. Anti-aircraft artillery, so you flew into that. And so me, the best place I want to be is in the flak. I also hate the flak because we can blow up and we're not in the fight anymore. So there's that paradox, but 90% of me wants to be in the flak. 10% says, maybe you should steer a little around it because you don't want to get knocked out. And until just a few years ago, I felt really bad because it didn't seem the paradigm had been shattered and people didn't actually read the globalist documents. Now there's been a paradigm shattering and I'm almost obsolete, Tucker. And as soon as that happens, as soon as I see another couple hundred more prominent people that actually know what's going on, we've already reached a chain reaction point, I'm going to hang it up and disappear like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Alex Jones, thank you. Thank you. What a great conversation.
Thank you, brother.
I really appreciate it.
Thanks for your courage, Tucker.
Thank you.
I love your crew. Great energy.
Thank you.
Americana,
thank
you. Baby.
All right. There we go. There what it was. There was the interview.
Wow.
Crazy shit. But he called it out every fucking time, man. And he's right. Shit's going to get bad. You know, shit's going to get bad. Like talking about them sleeper cells. Yeah, this is a full military fucking installation of this border open like this. This is a complete plan. So.
Well, you know, if Trump doesn't get it back in the office, yeah, it's going to get bad. We're going to war.
It ain't
going to
matter, gunslinger.
But there's going to be
war. It ain't going to matter.
I
think if he gets an office, it's going to go off. I'm telling you, but I think it's going to go off the deep end.
Trump is a negotiator. He knows.
I'm denying that. I'm not denying that. But that is not part.
Did he get us into
the gunslinger?
War? The four
it
years.
Ain't gonna matter. It don't
yeah, but
matter.
Did he get us, it,
yeah,
did
I know,
he get
bro,
us but, into a war? You know,
no,
I'm just saying
but,
he
no, but if they, but if they already got this plan, it ain't gonna matter who the fuck's in that office, brother.
Yeah, if it's
you know what I'm saying? That could
I mean,
be a trigger.
Know.
If Trump gets in, that could be a trigger for these fuckers to activate. That's what I'm it's saying.
Simple.
I'm not
it's
saying it's his fault. But because they hate him so,
you know,
they set their fucking dogs off.
But what did he say? What did he say? One of his predictions was there are going to be two assassinations. Somebody's going to assassinate Biden and somebody's going to assassinate Trump. That's what he said.
Right.
Now, I've been saying...
they don't want either one of them in there.
I've been saying a Trump assassination is a... This is... It's getting to the point... all these cases are falling apart on them. The one in, you know, the one in Atlanta, the three in New York, the Jack Smith one in Washington D.C. and including that fucking trying to get him off the ballot thing that they're trying in Colorado. All right, it's falling apart on them. So if everything they're trying is falling apart. What happens when everything falls apart and they're backed into a corner? What's their last choice?
I'm with you on that, but I don't know, man.
Well,
it'll be an interesting ride.
It's going to be. It's just.
Which,
I mean, it's
whichever
hard to
way it goes, okay.
Right.
Yeah, well, yeah, it is hard to say. Whichever way it goes, I'm betting on Trump if he can smooth things out. Now, if he can't, then it's going to be World War. It's going to be war. It's going to be Civil War or World War III. There ain't no way
yep.
around that because the evidence is all pointing
well,
to
I think they want
if
it.
If them
cops, I'm just saying they want it to be a worldwide. They want it to be a fucking worldwide thing.
Yeah,
you
know? No, they want to be worldwide. They want to take over... They want to take over the entire world, you know, New World Order, all that older bullshit, you know. And, you know, Alex, you know, there's a lot of people that hate Alex Jones, a lot of people that love Alex Jones. I met the man on more than two occasions, one time at Austin at a gun rally they had down there, and the other couple times down at Waco, Texas, with the Branch Davidians. He was down there, okay. And we talked, you know, a couple hours. He's a very intelligent guy, no doubt about that, okay. Now, his conspiracy theories, some of them are kind of, you know, on the edge. But a lot of things that he said has come true. Go back and look at all the videos that he's made back, what was it, back in the 80s? Police State, Wake Up or Waco or something like, you know, all those deals. Every fucking one of them come true. You can't doubt, you cannot deny that. Every one of the videos has come true. Scared the shit out of you. You know? So, he may be right. Who knows? I mean, you know, it's going to be a bitch. If he is, we're sunk. We're fucked. With no Vaseline. And not even no KY. You know?
I mean, look. You know, if... Now, granted, we all sit here, Gunn, that they didn't get their hands slapped the last time they cheated. So what's going to stop them from cheating again? Well, the problem is if you look at the polling, now I don't trust the polling, but if you look at the polling, what it's saying about the black vote and the Hispanic vote and even somewhat with the woman voting, that Trump is pulling a lot more than he should be in all three of those, in all those categories. So if he gets, he doesn't need but 15% of the black vote to make this thing not worth doing, you know. He don't need any more than 25% of the Hispanic vote, or maybe, I don't know, 20% of the women's vote. But that's neither here nor there. It's just that's what's freaking them out, that all of their coalition, a lot of their coalition that they put together over the past 50 years or so, is starting to come apart on them. All right? That's what's freaking them out, you know?
Yeah, it is.
They're going to be so freaked out that, like you said, you're going to see it. You might very well see if not one, if not two, maybe even three possible assassinations, because they don't want he Alex Jones. The only thing I don't agree with you on him on is just who if what's his name pool. If RFK Jr. runs as a third party candidate, who is he going to pull from? Look at what he believes in. Look at what RFK Jr. believes in. Other than getting rid of the police state, he's an environmentalist. He's all this other stuff. He's a high tax guy. He's basically a Democrat running against a Democrat. If with his policies, how is he going to pull voters away from Trump? If anything, he's going to pull
All the polls that I see every day is they're all for Trump. I mean, literally every fucking poll you see from WorldNet Daily down to NBC, I don't care where it is. The ones that are really that's really hit the nail on the stud in 2016, all showing Trump is going to win by a landslide, probably a biblical landslide. Okay, in this case, because we've seen now what these Democrats have done, what they've done to the country. They're fucking it up, fucking us all, and it's going down the shithole to hell. Just like he said. Somebody's got to step in and pull the goddamn country back up and put it back on its feet like it was when he was 4 years in the office. We were the greatest goddamn nation on the fucking planet in the history of the planet. Everybody loved us, and we was respected. That was the most thing. Love is one thing, but being respected as a superpower on this rock, the earth, that clears everything. I'm still going to stand by my argument.
They're setting all this shit up. Even if Trump does win, it's going to go bad. They're setting it up, Bart.
Well, it might.
You know? That's what I'm saying. They're just setting it up for the guy, you know? And fuck us, too. Fuck him. Fuck you, too. That's
It doesn't have to be that way. We can control our own destiny.
Yeah, we could. And we're going to have to. We got to stand up.
It takes sacrifice, man. It takes sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. There you go. But you got to first stand up to sacrifice, you know?
How many guys are we letting go down? You know, we got patriots sitting locked up right now, wrongfully in prison.
We allow it. Lots of them. Well, yeah. That's what I'm saying. And they are being violated on their fucking rights so badly. It's sickening, you know? These are corporate fucking rules they're convicted of. These are not laws. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're not there. Then, when Tucker Carlson puts out the fucking videos after this new speaker gets in, too, he puts out some shit, too. So, in fact, none of that shit was going down what they said.
They're coming after me, man. I told you guys about my cases, how they're fucking me. And I'm running. Now they're coming after me. They said that hasn't gone away, that stuff I told you guys about 4 or 5 months ago. They still fucking with me. You know?
Yeah.
And where is everybody? You know, I got to go stand up against this stuff on my own, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
They're not taking me. They're not taking me nowhere. I'm not paying nothing. I'm innocent. I've done nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You sure heard me argue with lawyers today on the phone. Me and another guy, one of my patriot brothers from up north, we're arguing with him on the phone today. These two lawyers. This lawyer frankly told me flat out. You're being sold out.
Mm-mm-mm. Because they don't want you to have that power to tell people the fucking truth, because they got to want to be able to persuade them, to lie and manipulate them. You know, that's what they want to do. They don't want the truth, Joseph, at all.
And it's so convenient. It's so
like
convenient.
Us.
Listen, it's so convenient, right? This has all been silent. And all of a sudden, now I put my name on the ballot. All of a sudden, bam, now I got to be in court next week.
Right.
Get the fuck out of here. You know?
Yeah. And, you know, like my show, why do you think I get attacked a lot, too? I always get all kinds of shit. You know what I'm saying? All kinds of bullshit. You know? you know, we're looking at your show and this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, well, you know, okay. And I'll call them up. I'll call them up. Well, what the fuck's wrong with my show? Everything I do, I work under the First Amendment. I got that right. I'm not a U.S. citizen, first off, so you can't fucking touch me, bitch. I'm not a U.S. citizen. I'm an American citizen. I have constitutional rights, for real. I don't claim to be a U.S. citizen. Never will I. You know what I mean? I'm not a member. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm just not a goddamn member.
Yeah.
You know, and I tell you, people have told me I'm out of my fucking mind. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I know. I
want you to believe anything I fucking say to you. Don't believe nothing I tell you. But I said, when you go apply for food stamps, motherfucker, I want you to ask them, where do them food stamps come from? You know? And then when you find out, you tell me what the fuck's going on. Okay, guess what? Food stamps come from the Department of Agriculture. Why would the Department of Agriculture be feeding people? Don't they feed livestock and animals and shit like that? Ain't that their department?
Yeah.
Yes, get it? See what I'm saying? So
when
people learn that shit and they found out I was right about it, they flip the fuck out and they want to know every fucking thing. Then, you know. But that's just the way it fucking is. Everything is, you got to understand how to play the game. If you don't know how to play the game.
Nobody wants to stand and be their own leader, though, Ron.
You can never
everybody starts, wants to come to you, though, and lead them. You know, why can't they be their own leader, you know?
Can't.
You know what I mean?
No, they've been programmed different. They've been brainwashed. They've been indoctrinated, man. It ain't their fault. A lot of people, really ain't their fucking fault, man. They were educated that way. Her parents didn't know. Their parents didn't know better either way. You know what I mean? They just went along with the American fucking dream. That's the first thing you people work on. I'm working for the American dream. I got a job, a wife, and children, and two cars. 10 days are over.
Well,
back in the 70s, that came to an end. Like 1976, 1977, that came to a dead fucking stop. Mom had to go to work, pay the fucking bills, and that's the gas crisis of 1976, man. Remember that shit, OPEC and all that, blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, guess what? Mom had to go to work, too, because gas went from fucking 15 cents a gallon to 35 cents.
That's right.
You see what I mean? And everything went up then.
Right.
I remember that. I was like fucking 4 years old, and I remember that, you know?
And
so,
guys, what needs to happen is we need to take the majority of the people need to take the oath that ends the Declaration of Independence, and it's for the support of this declaration with our firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Once people understand you got to take that oath, that's when things are going to change. You know.
Here's a story here that they're fixing to do here in Texas. If the economy is going to go shit, okay, and it could, no doubt about it, then why is Texas here? This is out in Fort Worth. Is they're fixing to build or in the process of already building a $100 million golf course, and it will be in the heart of a new 2,500 home development. Here's the article right here.
Somebody ain't broke here.
Somebody got some fucking money, and it ain't me, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Okay. But read the article right there. $100 million golf course just for guys that can play with their fucking balls. You got to be kidding me. Really?
It's all a lie.
You mean I've been cheated all these years and I've been playing a $10 fucking course and playing my balls for $10? Fuck.
I think so, yep. Sorry to burst your burble, Ron. Yeah,
I was getting nervous. You telling me the story.
It ain't got no money.
Yeah, bullshit. Guys, when Trump gets in, what needs to happen is that community outside of Houston that's all illegal aliens. He needs to go in that community. They need to go in that community, arrest all of those people because they're all illegals, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. Take them out. and burn that community to the ground.
Trump's going
to
get elected from jail, just like me. I'm going to get elected right from jail. I'm going to get elected from jail, and so is Trump.
Yeah.
Watch. You'll
see. There you go. Yeah, probably. I mean,
motherfuckers. Don't worry, I got the signs going up. I got signs going up. I got 5,000 letters going out this weekend. 5,000 letters.
Have you been telling the fucking truth? Huh? You've been telling the truth, Joseph? You no good motherfucker. You no good motherfucker. You need to go behind fucking. You need to go under that fucking jail. Throw away the fucking key. Throw the fucking whole goddamn library at you. Not one book. I'm talking all the lying.
Like you said, they got to come get me. I ain't going in there. I ain't going into their football park.
Yeah, don't volunteer. You know, I pledge allegiance to the United States of America. What does that mean? What does that mean? Why have people stopped doing it? No shit, really.
Guys. I know.
Because
they know.
They fucking know. I don't pledge allegiance to corporate cock eaters. That's what you're paying allegiance to. They think it's the United States. We're all together, so cuddly and warm and cushy. Oh my God, how fucking retarded are you? You don't know, that fucking don't mean nothing. That is a corporate name like FedEx.
Yep.
That's what it is. It's a corporate fucking name. We are not controlled by a government no more. We're controlled by the corporation.
Yeah. Why do we allow them with their little pea shooters control us? You know, we're in charge, man. We don't let them push us around, man.
But
they put their pants on just like us.
That's the illusion. You're free. That's just the illusion, fuck, man. You ain't free for fucking shit.
You've been indoctrinated.
That's right, Boyd. That's right.
As long as they can keep up that illusion, okay, you can control the people, okay?
Yep.
I mean, it's very simple to control the people. Scare the shit out of them 24 hours a day. The boogeyman's going to get you. If you stick your dickhead out that fucking door, it's going to be bit off.
I know the boogeyman.
I like these First Amendment artists, and they go around with these cameras, and they get in the police, the cops' faces and shit. You know, I like those.
A lot of motherfuckers are doing it. Yeah, I watched that North Carolina one, North Carolina Tyron Hunter. But, the evil comes in two different forms, man. It just comes in two different fucking forms. And here, the one point is, you have the illusion that you're free, but you're not.
Yep.
No. It's the way it is. You're not. If you want freedom, you got to pay for it. Now, we all know that Hunter Biden just got fucking, 9 indictments against him. 3 felonies, 6 misdemeanors. So fucking what, right? Okay, fine, fucking Andy. But I live in the state of Missouri. In the state of Missouri, they're pretty cool on their shit, their laws and everything about, you know, certain things, right? Well, they're going to pass a new law pretty soon here. It says Missouri lawmakers propose allowing homicide charges for women who have abortions. So if you want to kill your baby that's in you, you might go to jail for murder. And they're not fucking around about that. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not a big pro-lifer, but they're not happy with this shit. You know, you're going to fuck and suck and all this shit and get pregnant. You're going to waste that fucking human being's life because you just got drunk last night, got fucked by some fucking dude you picked up at the bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
The abortion thing is because we have no more bayous. We just don't. We still have bayous. We'll fuck anything stand still along us. You know, that's how us men are. No, women are the same thing. They'll fuck anything they can catch. So, you know, it shouldn't matter.
What would a dollar?
Because you know what? The funny thing about it is, you know, we are ordered to act the way we act. But technically, fucking is natural. It's a natural thing we do as animals. We are fucking animals. We are not what people think we are. You know, I wear clothes, shirts, and pants, and shoes, and all this shit, but I'm still an animal. I shit, I piss, I eat, I cum, I fuck. That's all I can do. I get sick, I get better. You know, that's the way it is. That people fail to realize the fact that you're a fucking animal. You're no different than a goddamn dog laying on your fucking floor, man.
You got bad breath.
Yeah, but it's how we act. It's how we fucking act. And these cops, all these cocksuckers want to do, they want to be fucking gods and Jesuses and all this shit. They want to be, I'm going to be a politician. I want to be a politician because then I can control the people because I control the money. The old saying goes, you control the money, you control the people. That's right. And we have two things. Here's another fear called fear. Let's scare the shit out of them. Fear and money.
That's
what COVID and economic collapse all happening right now in front of you. They brought you the fear with sickness. It's, now they're coming from
these maggot-ass lawyers. These maggot-ass lawyers, man. They're the worst.
Oh, by, they're even in the fucking Bible.
It is.
I have a lot of friends that are attorneys. I do.
It's so easy to fool people. But it's so easy to fool people. I told you the one I do, I have that fucking badge that says concealed handgun license on it. It's not a cop. I'm not a cop. I don't claim to be a cop. But I wear that on my fucking shirt right there, and you ought to see the respect I get.
I'm not
a cop. Okay. That could say the world's best pussy eater. nobody reads the deal. All they see is
one of those.
And that's
I got that badge.
Yeah. I've had the fucking goddamn door open for me. I said, thank you for your service. And I'm going,
When I wore my security officer uniform. Oh, yeah. They piss on themselves when they see me walk, you know?
Yeah. There you go. It's so if they, they can be fooled by the zillions out there. That's what's so sickening about it. If people would just wake up and say, wait a minute, I'm getting fucked in the ass and I'm not getting no KY. What the fuck's going on here? Fuck you, motherfuckers. Wouldn't that be a glorious day?
I think the best incident I ever had was, my incident at Golden Corral. That's when I learned to teach Spanish people speak English. And that was a hell of a thing.
Which one was that?
This past summer when I went to Golden Corral, and that Mexican dude squeezed in between me. He's all dressed to the fucking nines. He's dressed, cowboy hat, cowboy boots, gold jewelry, he had all this shit. His kids were dressed nice and all this shit. He walks right in front of me like I'm some type of punk bitch. You know what I'm saying? Then when I fucking turn my waist, he's seen it. Oh, I'm sorry. So sorry, senor. Yeah, you are. Yeah, because his whole mind changed when he turned to the other side of my fucking hip. You know what I mean?
You're right.
So, the right side of my hip, that changed his fucking mind. But I didn't pull it. I didn't do nothing. It was just there. It was just fucking there. That's all it was.
I told you I had the same thing at the Golden Corral.
But
here.
I was just about to say something to him, though, before he said that to me. I was about to tell him, who the fuck do you think you are, man? You know what I'm saying? Now, if I would have said that and turned and he was seeing it, then he probably really would have been fucking tripping and shit. Now this motherfucker's armed and I pissed him off. Oh, my God, he'd be fucking, that's not what it's for. I'm not going to use it for that kind of shit, Right.
But if you get into a situation where you have to,
there you go.
To prevent something that's even worse, like I said, the thing when we went to this Golden Corral. This black dude was making fucking eyes and saying something about this Mexican's wife, and she was standing next to me, and I'm sitting there trying to wait on my fucking hot potato there, and this Mexican guy comes up to the left of me, about 6'5", make about two of me, and they start arguing. So I just kind of backed up and pulled my shirt up a little bit, and fucking they both see that gun. Oh, boy, and the badge. All of a sudden, I'm sorry. Accept my apology.
Since they took that right away, they've taken that right away. People act good when they see things like that, and that's just by sight, But that's the thing. Back in the old days, before gun laws were ever gun laws, everybody carried a fucking gun.
Oh yeah,
everybody did.
We had a problem with
and everybody fucking knew it. Everybody fucking knew it. So respect was a very sacred fucking thing to people. And it is a very sacred thing. Respect is very sacred.
What does gunslinging like to say all the time? An armed society is a polite society.
Absolutely. That's right. You fucking got it. And that's what we don't have no more. We have narcissistic fucking people in the world nowadays. Everybody's better than everybody fucking else. Everybody wants to drive their car right up your asshole.
Pass the buck.
Everybody wants to be first. I didn't do nothing wrong, even though I was a motherfucker to hit the guy. I didn't do it. Makes you want to, Check this
wasn't
out.
Me.
Check
wasn't
out.
Me.
Here's something I kind of regret sometimes. In every vehicle I own, it's got a med pack in it, okay? A lot of people don't know what that is, but it's what a paramedic carries. in the ambulance with him. Okay, it's a med pack, okay? It's got everything in it. You know, defibrillator, it's got fucking Narcan, you know, it's got a choke extractor, all kinds of shit. You know what I mean? Had neck brace, you know, airbags, foil sheet covers, heaters, you know, shit like that. Well, I have one in every one of my rigs. I have one. I mean, I'm a fireman. I'm, you know, well, I'm an ex-fireman, but that's what I used to have to do, you know? So I decided to buy them for every vehicle I own. Have one in it, you know, just in case you ever need it. You know what I mean? But now I kind of regret it. You know what I mean? Because if I help this motherfucker and they live, they could turn around and sue me for fucking touching them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's why, you know, that's why when I...
You don't have a good Samaritan law in Missouri?
I don't know that, Boyd. I don't know.
Yeah, what is that cover exactly?
That would be a... That's kind of a double-edged sword.
Yeah, it is.
Because if you got one and you are trained as an EM, here's the difference. EM, what's below an EMT?
EMS?
Yeah, something like
that. I know
that.
A trainee? Something like a trainee or something?
No.
You've got a... Because I had one at one time. Mm-hmm. And the difference is with the lower one, you are not required to render aid. But if you're an EMT, plain and simple, if you run into a situation as such, you are required to render aid until, you know, the paramedics get there.
Right.
Okay, so.
But that's, so I'm certified. I'm a certified EMT. So that's, you know.
Okay,
yeah.
So you are required, whether you have the equipment with you or not, is to you are required to render aid.
That is the
no
oath.
Matter
that
what.
That is the oath. Yes, it is. That's right.
And it's also, I believe it's required by law.
I don't know about that. I don't remember, boy. I stole it all, but. I know you used to make it sound well to help people. You know that you know what you did, which you're any time on or off, you know, duty type thing.
Yeah,
but you know, like with me, the things I used to do when I was on the fire department, I think I was the most daredevilish fucker of them all. You know, because I've done some pretty badass fucking rescues. You know, badass. You know, and I'm of course you know the hips started going bad and everything else. I can't do it no more. Anyway, you got 90 seconds calling now. Or you're going to miss out on this fun packed show. The number of it is 563-999-3726. The number is 563-999-3726. So call it.
Okay, so boy, you asked what was below. There's four different settings for that thing. The lowest, the most basic one is emergency medical responder. Then there's the
EMS. EMS, EMT, paramedic. There you go. That was
EMS.
Advanced emergency medical technician, advanced. Then there's the paramedic.
Right.
So paramedic is the highest you could get.
That's what I said, EMS.
Yeah, the lowest responder. Right. So,
we have the kind of thing here in Texas. If you have to shoot a bad guy, for example, in self-defense, the law says you don't have to render aid, okay? That's very clear. It's in the penal code. You do not have to render aid, okay? And even when I got my license in 95, my concealed handgun license in 95, I was being taught by a Dallas firearms instructor, retired firearms instructor. He said, don't shoot the wound. You shoot to kill. Dead man tells no tales, don't they? So that means that... He can't come back and fucking sue you for every fucking penny you got. And that's right. especially today.
Yeah, that's right.
Especially today.
Yes, sir. Yeah. You can be sued for you could file a suit against a ham sandwich. You know, that's a famous legal thing. Yeah, you can indict a fucking ham sandwich. Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't matter. It,
I mean, look, I think the last episode of Seinfeld was all about the whole thing about the law, Good Samaritan law, right? And it's like, okay, it was all about them trying to get Seinfeld and them in jail because he didn't render aid to this guy who was getting carjacked, right? So it's like, okay, you're not responsible for that. You're a witness to it, and they were taping it and all that shit, but your responsibility at that point, if you're taping that thing going on, is get the tape to the cops so the cops can go after these people, right? But the problem is the way that episode was set up was that they brought the whole crew, Seinfeld and the other three friends, in the court. They put them on trial for not rendering aid, and they wanted to make it a character deal about how they had bad character, you know, because they didn't render the aid that they should have rendered, that they thought they should have rendered, you know. But that's not right. How do you know? Put yourself in that situation, all right, or a situation like that. How do you know that guy's not, that other guy, the guy that's doing the carjacking, is not carrying a goddamn gun? You know, a 9mm with a 15-round clip.
I mean, what are you talking about? I don't understand. You got me confused.
Yeah.
Speaking of clips,
we're rescuing him? We're rescuing him? I don't understand.
How about that? I got the beat. I got my 21-round clip in the mail today, two of them.
Cool.
Now I'm packing 60 rounds.
The replacement?
Right.
Is that the replacement for the ones that
are
broke?
Are those the ones that...
Well, I just went ahead and bought two of them, but they're going to be replacing the other. I went ahead and bought two of them, metal ones this time, but they're going to be replacing these others. Refund.
Oh, okay. That was
fucking crazy. The two that exploded, right?
Three now. I had a third one explode.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Don't ever buy these. Yeah. Third one came apart.
I know you.
Yep,
I know one
right
of them you never found the spring.
I still haven't found that
one of them
spring. It's gone. It motherfucker's gone. But the third one is split right down the side where the two halves are put together like a sandwich. It's split right down that fucking seam. There's a product default or defect.
They didn't
there.
Make the glue, they didn't make the plastic hot enough. That's the deal. Or
it should be molded.
Like
it should be molded.
Dodge did it from 1998 to 1992. That put the dashboards.
Yeah.
Every Dodge pickup truck from 1998 to 1992 were fucking junk. Anyway, I'm up
with the thing. Should
a
be a
piece of a clip.
It should be molded. It should be molded in one piece.
Right.
Not fucking
right.
Sandwich
two pieces. Yeah. Right. Right.
But with that much spring pressure, that big old spring in there crushed down with 17 rounds,
right.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, and
that spring.
Seems weak. That seam is weak. So anyway, I want to play a little bit of this clip real quick. This is a conversation of Ted and University of Alberta. Let's see this. It's called "My Birth Certificate Is a Lie." And of course, we know I mentioned that many, many fucking times in my show and explained to you, everybody. I might have to do that again, do one on the birth certificate again. I ain't done a show in it in quite a while, so not too many people are up to speed with it anymore. But I'm going to check this clip out just for a second. We're in overtime anyway, but let's check this out for a minute. If it sucks, I'll stop it and we'll go back.
If this apple gave me food poisoning, I would be able to track where it came from, who transported it, and when. If I got sick due to a genetic predisposition, however, I would have no legal way to find out half of my medical history. Why, you ask? Why does an apple have more information about its history than I do? Because I was made with anonymous donor sperm. Under current Canadian legislation, because my parents used an anonymous sperm donor, I do not have the right to know half of my personal, health, and family history. These are my parents. They're pretty normal. Like 1 in 6 Canadian couples, they experienced infertility. But my parents still wanted to have kids, so they decided to use a sperm donor. In 1999, they were presented with these options. All were anonymous sperm donors. With such little information, my mom asked the lab tech which donor was the nicest person. They recommended number 3. 9 months later, I was born. And then my brother, 2 years later. At a young age...
Oh, my God. I think that's my daughter. Fuck. No, that's not what I thought it was. Anyway, yeah, I had to throw it in there, though. I don't know about the boy, but she sure looks like me a lot. My God. Yeah. You know, I did live donation. I never did do the tube thing. I gave it to you fresh, right from the source, like the succulent fucking cherry. You know, that's what I gave. I mean, fresh right off the stem.
Right from the source. There you go.
Right from the source. Exactly.
Is that all you're going to play of that clip?
That's it. You want to hear some more of it? You want to hear more?
Well, I thought she was going to go after the Canadian government and the birth certificate shit.
No, that's I was going for that, but this is not what the topic is. She's just talking about how she has a sperm donor, so it makes half of her birth certificate a lie. That's what she's saying. I don't want to hear that shit. What I'm trying to do is was figuring out the point of the birth of the birth certificate, what it is, you know, how it is, how it does. You know, how it's bullshit, it's a bond. I'm trying to find a video on it right now. So,
you kind of, I don't know when your switchboard is going to switch off.
But I got a backup plan.
Yeah.
Wow. Lorianne still with us?
No, she went over to fucking Jay Jones.
Jim Clark.
Jim Clark, yeah. Did I say Jim Jones?
He goes, she went over to fucking...
All right, let's try this guy out. This might be a little bit more. This might be a little bit too. He don't ever let too many people on his show.
Quaker, in the oat game since 1877.
You got to have that, you know, Quaker. And why haven't they taken that guy off the fucking box?
Entrepreneur.
What would he be?
I often do that just to...
All right, here we go.
I went for a walk last night. I often do that just to freshen up after a day. And as is occasionally what happens is, as you're out in the public, somebody recognizes me and they say, oh, hello, Richard. I enjoy your videos, which is very nice. And they've become quite popular. Well, on this particular occasion, I was just minding my own business and somebody said to me, hey, Richard, have you got a moment? And I said, oh, hello. And I noticed that out of the gloom came this rather unusual-looking fella. He was—he had this sort of dark floppy hat, a big long black coat, and greyish hair, and a sort of long, what would you call it, a Gandalf-style beard. And he looked at me and he said to me, "Let me buy you a drink. I want to tell you something." He said, "You've almost got it, but not quite. And I want to tell you the greatest secret." And I thought, oh, okay. So we went into a pub and we bought a couple of ales. And he took me to the very back of the pub in one of the darkest alcoves where he said we couldn't be overheard. And we sat down. And as we sat down, he reached into a bag and pulled out a board. And he opened this board. And I noticed it was a game. It was Monopoly. And I thought, oh, you know what it's like at Christmas when the board games come out and Monopoly is one of them and you think, oh, we're going to be here for hours. And he said, don't worry, I'll be as quick as I can. So as we sat down and we were drinking and he was bringing out all the paraphernalia that you have, the little silver objects that you're the playing things, you know, there was the top hat and the dog and the train and the iron and a number of others that I can't now remember. And then there were the community chest cards and the other ones, I forget what they're called. And then there was some of the Monopoly money, which he was just sorting out into different piles. And I thought, well, this is interesting. And he said to me, he said, oh, pick a character, whichever character you like. So I looked down and I thought, actually, the top hat. I quite like the top hat. That would be lovely. So he said, do you know, your parents have done you a very big disservice in life. And I said, oh, really? What do you mean? He said, they informed on you. And I said, oh, I don't understand. What do you mean they informed on me? He said, when you were born, they informed the government about you. They took you to a building, a government building, and there, some 14 days after you were born, they told a registrar about you, and they gave away your legal title. And I said, I don't really understand what you mean. They said, well, the registrar filled in a certificate, did they not? They filled in your name, and your parents were the informants. I said, oh, that sounds rather creepy when you put it like that. You're talking about my birth certificate, aren't you? He said, yes, that's right. And they gave your parents a copy, not the original. And he said, at that moment, you'd signed away, or effectively they had signed away, their son's legal title. And this was then turned into a bond. And I said, oh. He said, you see, the thing is, at that moment, your legal title on this certificate became a trust fund. The Treasury has now turned this into a trust fund. And at that point, he gave me a certain amount of Monopoly money. He said, oh, here's some money for the game. And I said, oh, thanks very much. I can't remember how much he gave me. But he said at that moment, he said, oh, I don't know, the trust fund probably had £1 million put on it. And because it was bonded, it was floated onto the stock exchange and was earning money. Throughout the rest of your life, this trust fund would earn money. It would earn huge amounts of money. Check how much you've got there. And I counted out the money. He said, that's like a trust fund, isn't it? That's the trust fund. The bank has just given you a whole load of money. And he said, which character are you playing? I said, oh, the top hat. He said, yes, that's your legal title. He said, the government, when you ever get anything official, it will come with your name in capitalization, big capitalization, the same as on your birth certificate, capitalization. That's how you know that you are a player in the legal game of life. Your top hat isn't you, is it? I said, well, no, clearly it's just a silver little thing molded out of metal. He said, exactly. It's not actually you. Just as your legal persona, your name in capitalization, is not you. And yet it's on all the bits of paper from the bank, from the tax office, all those different bits of paper, your car registration, all those different pieces of paper. That is a representation of you, but it's not actually you, just as the top hat is not actually you. And I said, oh, okay. He said, so you've got the money from the trust. That is your estate. And we're going to play the game with your estate. He said, do you know much about trust funds? I said, to be honest with you, I don't know very much at all. He said, well, let me explain. You see, when you have a trust, there's a fund, and it's set up by the trustee, in this case, by the Treasury, the government, the Treasury. They've put in this money. Now, in order for a trust to work, there must be two other people in it. There's three maximum, you see. There is the beneficiary, the person that the trust is set up for, which in your case is you, this money that's been put into is yours to do whatever you like with. Oh, I said, that's very nice. Thanks very much. He said, but there is also somebody who must administer that, the executor. So the executor is the one who will make sure that things are paid or that you can withdraw money for what you need. And he said, of course, when you're a baby, you cannot be the executor because you are a minor. So until you reach the age of majority, which is 18, your parents would be the executor. They would administer the trust for you, set up by the government. He said, the only thing is, the government, a bit canny like this, they don't actually tell your parents. And so your parents can't tell you that when you're 18, the age of majority, that you could now be the executor. So you go through life feeling that you have no money. You feel that you're a debtor, that you're constantly in debt, that you have to get a job because you need money to pay for the things you need. And yet all the time, there is this trust fund that as you go through life and you get older and the longer it's in there, the more money that it is accruing all the time. There could be, by the time you die, millions upon millions, maybe 50 million pounds are sitting in this trust, unused. He said, in theory, you could walk into a wonderful showroom of Rolls-Royce vehicles. You could, in theory, go up and say, that one, is that the most expensive Rolls-Royce? How much is that? It could be £1 million. You say, at the age of 18. I think I'll have that because I'm in credit. You've got this trust fund. I said, oh. He said, all you need to do is autograph the credit note and the car is yours. But of course, the man who's selling you the car will say, hang on a minute, I don't understand. And you'll simply just say, well, take this credit note that I have now put my autograph on, take it to the Treasury, and they will dip into my trust fund and pay you. You'll get your money perfectly fine because I'm in credit at the game. You have this big pile of money. I've just given it to you. That is your trust fund. He said, but in the game of Monopoly, as we go around and you get penalties and you earn money, he said, when you get a penalty, what do you do? I said, well, I just pay it out of this money. He said, yes, that's what you should do in life. But in life, you don't go to your trust fund. You pay it out of the money you've gone to. You've got a job and your hard-earned job. You've got this hard-earned cash, real money that you're paying for all the bills and all the taxes, your council tax, your road tax, your fuel tax. You're paying your inland revenue tax, all the taxes you're paying out of your own hard-earned money. And yet you don't need to. You've got this rather plush trust fund, he said. He said, look at it. You can see it. And in the game of Monopoly, that is what you do. I said, oh, yes. I see. He said, but the money is there. He said, yes, but because they don't tell you that you are the executor of the trust, you don't know. You just think you're in debt all the time and you're having to borrow money to buy a house and you get a mortgage and you're paying it all back. You could have got it straight from the trust and not had the bother. I said, wow. He said, but through life, just as you play on this game of Monopoly, there are hazards. And every now and again, because you've not earned enough or you fell behind with your payments or the interest rates have gone up or the way the legal system has worked, it seems to be always against you. You drive your car and you get into a penalty area and there's an infringement or you park your car and there's a parking ticket, all these sort of things, and you haven't got the money because you haven't worked hard enough or whatever it is. You could end up with summonses to a court. So do you know what a court is? A magistrate's court? And I said, well, yes, I've got an idea. He said, it's just the legal department of the Treasury. They want to make sure that you pay the bills or the infringements or the tickets and all of this. And so they'll administer it. So they'll have a convener, which they call a judge, at the magistrate's court, because all court sessions, all legal things start in a magistrate's court. I said, oh, yeah. And you'll be summoned there. Now, of course, if you know that you're the executor, you can just tell them to say, well, just pay it out of the trust fund. But you don't know that. So you end up going to court. And the first thing that happens at court is, of course, they will say something like, for the record, state your name. And this is where the trick is played on you. Because you don't know who you are, you will say, my name is Richard Vobes. And at that moment, they've got you. Because effectively what's happened is you've said, I'm the top hat, or the dog, or the train, or the iron. You've become the player of the game. You've become the fiction, because their world can only work on the fiction. A real living man cannot enter a real court. They cannot deal with you. So they have to get you to be the legal fiction. And so what happens then is they become the executive, they become the sole beneficiary, and you become a legal representative of the trust, but you end up paying out of your own money. So what you should do, of course, is tell them the truth, because you're not a capitalized version of your name. You're not the top hat. You're not the character that's playing the legal game. Of course you're not. You're a real living man. You're the executor of the estate of the top hat, or the capitalization, the persona of your living man. That's who you are, just as in Monopoly. So you would say, well, I'd like to introduce myself. I am the executor and the sole beneficiary of the estate of Richard Vobes, the legal persona. But I am the executor. And as there is only three people that can be in a trust, it means the judge or the prosecutor or the crown court, the clerk of the court, is the trustee. The role can switch around depending on who is taking the role, but one of them will have that role. They will, in fact, have a checkbook ready to pay should you announce who you are. Of course, most people don't, because they don't know, because this is the greatest secret, he said. But once you've announced who you are and you say, well, I'm the executor of this, the estate, I'm the executor, I'm the one who controls and administers the top hat. So you're charging this estate the bill of whatever it is, the parking ticket, the inland revenue, the council tax, whatever it is that's not yet been paid. He said, fine, I've no problem paying it. Absolutely. The estate will cough up, take the money out of the trust. The trust is there. So as the administrator, as the executor, you're the one in charge, because the trustee has to do as you say. And by accepting and admitting and introducing yourself as the executor of the estate and the sole beneficiary, the judge has to be the trustee. And he will have to pay. Well, he won't like that. He'll probably run out of court or say there is no case to answer, because they tend not to like that sort of thing. But that is what it is. You don't need to pay it out of your own money. That's fallacy. You've got this money that's accruing. You can have whatever you like. I said, wow. He said, but they won't like it. And they will do all sorts of things. They will use threats and menaces and potentially try and arrest you and do all sorts of things, because they need you to become the legal persona, the legal person, not a real living man, not the executor. They want you to be the top hat, and then they can play the game against you. So you have to resist at all times, because you are a living man. You are the executor. You didn't ask them to set up the trust. They set up the trust. You're just there to administer it, because you are the executor. So administer your trust, he said, with a wry smile. He said, do you fancy another drink? I said, no, I'll get them. I'll get them. So I went to the bar, thinking about this, buzzing in my head. And when I came back with another glass of ale for us both, two glasses of ale, I noticed he was nowhere to be seen. He'd gone. The board had gone. And all the things, except all that was left, was the little silver top hat. And I could almost hear the words ringing in the air. You are the executor of the legal estate. The trust is in your name. Grab it.
Now, there you go.
Introducing new Quaker Chewy Granola.
I didn't know that Chewy made cereal.
Tastes like this.
That's how it's played. Don't you love it? Yep, you are the executor of youth. Like I mentioned about birth certificate many, many times, man. It ain't what people think it is. It just ain't it, you know. And the thing about it is, right, but the people don't understand the fact when you go to court and shit like that, when they're going to find you, the other person, and they're also going to get it from the executor because they became the executor and they're going to give it to the trustee. So they get double the money. You know what I mean? When they put you in jail,
but
they're taking money from that trust also. But you're free. Right?
But you're free to go to jail. Yeah, you're free to go to jail.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then what it comes down to is if you don't fucking pay your fucking ground rent taxes, they kick your ass off and get in the slob in there and do it.
I just did that last week, Gunslinger. I just did exactly that. And so I seen those Horatian fuckers there, man. It wasn't great. But, yeah, wouldn't pay my land rent, you know. Even though I have all kinds of
taxes
everything on it. Yeah, my land rent. My property rent. All my tractors, tools, trucks, and all that shit, even the chickens.
Technically, you really don't own that land. Okay? Because if you did, you wouldn't have to pay all them taxes.
Well,
okay?
But I do own this land through a fucking patent. I filed a patent on this land.
But it's contradicting itself.
It is. That's right. It is. Here's why. Because it's rated commercial, agricultural. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. They couldn't take it. I wouldn't have to ever pay them a fucking nickel part. But it will add up. They will add up on the executor estate. See what I mean? There again, here comes the estate again thing, right? So, I mean, there's ways out of it. There's a lot of different ways I can get out of this. But I don't want to piss them off too fucking much. Because the problem is, if they keep jacking the price up on my property and all that shit like that and keep jacking up, then I'm going to put the dick to them. That's why I stick the dick right to them. They won't get nothing from me. You know what I mean? I'll make this bitch a full-functioning agricultural fucking laboratory site. Fuck you. I'm going to fucking watch frogs fucking get paid by the government to do it. They can't touch me. 501. I'll file a 501. I'll become a preacher over fucking night. I'll get my internet fucking whatever they call it. What is that certificate you get when you become a preacher? You know, ordained. I'll be ordained to save your fucking soul.
Ordained.
Man, praise the Lord.
Oh, damn. Then we never get him to shut up.
Oh, God, Jesus.
No,
God damn, no. God damn it, I tell you, God damn it. God, please, God damn it, God damn it, damn it. You know, that's another funny fact, Phil. Oh, you're still taking a large stand with me by saying, God damn it. No, I'm not. I'm asking God to damn you. God damn it. You're the it.
Oh, God damn you to hell.
That's right. God damn you to hell. Yes, sorry. So-and-so is so-and-so. Well, it was cocksucker. Motherfucking jackoff. Motherfucker.
That's when I hung that mayor in effigy. God damn them to hell. God damn them to hell.
They couldn't do a thing to you about it. They couldn't do a fucking thing to you.
No.
Boy, that hurt their
First anus. Amendment free speech.
Yep.
Oh, my God. They were they're still butt hurt today over that.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee it. Oh, they hate me. They still hate me today. I guarantee them cocksuckers do, motherfuckers. Sorry, bastards.
Yep.
But yeah, besides your land or whatever, in general, if you don't pay your ground rent, they kick you off and get somebody else in there that can't. Well, they're some caring motherfuckers, ain't they?
They'll put it up for sale.
They don't care if you kick
it. They're going to get their money.
The street. They did it.
It's guaranteed
they did it to
money.
Me.
Yeah.
They did it to me, motherfuckers.
Guaranteed.
Condemned.
How many years ago was that?
Hell,
how many years ago was that?
That was in 2000, and I think it came to a head in 2009.
Yeah, fuck. You're fucked. If you get a guy into it by within 7 years, you could have paid it off and got your shit back.
But there's no limitation.
There's seven years after it happens. 7 years. Maybe not in Texas. But I'm sure there is some type of limitation. But anyway, if you buy a piece of property for taxes, okay, the person that owns it can come back and buy it back from you. But there, you can charge them all kinds of fucking fees and all kinds of shit. You know what I mean? You can still make a bunch
of money. Saying, there's no limitation on fraud because it was fraud. I looked it up. Federal right there. There is no limitation to fraud like murder. They come after you for the rest of your fucking life.
But your issue was you lost the property for tax, pay the property tax. Is that what it was? Is that correct?
Property tax, yeah.
You failed to pay property tax, what, 3 years? For 3 years?
Oh, 3 years, 4 years. 3 years, I guess it was.
Okay.
At least 3 years.
All right. But you didn't know you owed it.
Well, I figured, but I didn't know it off the bat because at the last, I thought I had that deferment. Remember that deferment I told you about? I thought it was approved, but it wasn't.
My niece lied to me.
And it went on through, and they foreclosed on the property for the taxes.
Right. So it was sold for the tax value, and whoever bought it for the tax value made out, like, big time.
Yeah, it was sold for the tax value, yeah.
So did your niece buy the house or property? Somebody she knew did.
She didn't wind up with the property. They sold the property out from under her because she defaulted on the loan that she took out to pay the taxes. Remember? She defaulted on that loan that she took out and put the property up for collateral when she defaulted on the loan to pay the taxes.
Oh, so she took the money and ran. Okay. Yeah.
Took the money and run.
Yeah.
She paid off her house. They bought two new cars, paid off her all credit cards, took a fucking vacation, and then fucked me out of my inheritance.
Right. Right.
There you go. See?
So, right.
That's fraud. That's
so
fraud.
It was the bank that got the house. The bank got it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the bank got it.
Yeah, the taxes didn't. No. Because I guarantee
the
taxes.
The bank got it when they foreclosed, on the loan. Yeah. Are you bastards?
Yeah, that's...
Well, I know my mother-in-law had an issue similar to that with some renters on a piece of property that she had. And they were asked to leave because they had quit paying on it. Or, you know, rent or some bullshit thing.
Financed by the owner. Rent own.
No, it was just a straight up rental.
Okay.
No rent to own or anything.
Okay.
And rather than really go and fight them over eviction and all that stuff, she just quit paying taxes on it, on the property.
And
the
renter did?
County. No, my mother-in-law didn't quit
Your
paying the taxes on the property.
Right.
And ended up letting the county take care of the folks on the property.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know.
Right.
If I would have known, I could have declared bankruptcy at the time. I didn't know it. It would have froze everything. I didn't know it. Nobody offered to tell me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I was running around like a chicken with his head cut off, trying to figure out what to fucking do. And I could have just filed the bankruptcy and halted everything.
Well, it's a shame you didn't know me then, Gunn. Yeah. God damn it, I could have helped you.
I know. I didn't know you. I didn't know you then.
Yeah. Yeah.
See how cruel these cocksuckers are? They don't give.
Oh, yeah.
They
Nobody
don't give
cares, Gunn. Yep. Nobody gives up.
They kick a disabled person out in the fucking street when my niece and the bank did.
Fuck them. All right. Fuck them crippled old motherfuckers. Yeah.
Cocksuckers. You know, some.
So I think my son's had an awakening. You know what I mean? Because we had a conversation, you know, because I've been trying to get him out, help me get this goddamn car bought and shit, because I can't do it anymore and all this shit. And we had a long conversation, going to go get the car and shit. And I explained to him, you know, man, I said, you know, all the shit you know is from dad, man. I taught you all this. You know, I never see the kids very often and, you know, all that shit. And like, we don't mean shit to nothing. You are your fucking brother. So Christmas time coming, since you guys fucked me for Turkey Day, fuck you all. Me and your mom's going to fucking Florida for Christmas. We don't care about your fucking kids. You don't care about us. So what's the sense of fucking talking to you, you know? So anyway, all of a sudden he comes over all the time, sends my granddaughter. It's over here all the shit, you know. Think he caught on, you know. But, I mean, I love my grandkids.
Loving family.
What's that?
Loving family.
I think, well, reality's kind of stuck in his head. Well, wait a minute. Dad's right. You know, we're just veering off away from every, you know, you know. And that's not right.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not the way the family life is supposed to be. You know, you're supposed to be in constant contact, you know, connected with your mom and dad. Every day, you know, that's what you should be doing, you know. Because of your mom and dad. I mean, I did it, you know, but I was on the road too when I was, you know, younger. And I didn't talk to my mom and dad for like a year or so, some shit like that, you know. But
yeah.
But I knew they were okay. I knew they were all right, you know. But, you know, but like I'm saying, I'm looking at on my deathbed right at this moment, you know, that like that. But this just the point, you know, just the fucking point. And then my oldest son, it's every year, it's always her mom first, and her mom's a wackaloon. This bitch a psycho bitch. You know what I mean? But she's always first. And I understand she's lonely. I get it. I do. And if she wasn't such a whack whore towards me and cunt and everything else under the book, you know, we all could be all together. But she's the one that broke the fucking ice. She's the one that killed it all. You know, and why don't you, well, you know, but you want to blame me. You're thinking I'm the fucking bad guy. Well, don't look here. Narcissist motherfucker, you ain't that fucking good at it. I'm better. I'm very well at that. Well, fucking designed to understand what a fucking narcissist is. But here's the fucking deal. When she told me before for your wedding, which, you know, I contributed very well to that wedding and everything else, which I don't care about that. And I did wear a pink tuxedo like a straight up fucking $3 fucking goddamn Kansas City faggot. But, you know, anyway, you know, the deal was this woman sent me a text message telling me, because my little niece was coming, little Daisy, cute as a button was. Now she's a big girl now, but, you know, anyway, she's still cute, but she ain't as cute as when she's a girl. She's a little dumpling, goddammit. But anyway, my little niece, Daisy, okay, said this church does not allow children in it.
What?
That's what she told me. Yeah. That this church does not allow children in it. Well, I said, well, I don't know about that. Doesn't sound right. You know, that's why I sent it back to her. And she goes, well, that's just the way it is. Okay, well, cool then. So, I need to find out where this fucking church is and what the fucking story is. So I called it. I called the church. And this lady answered. I said, ma'am, I got a question for you. You know, I'm really sorry to take your time. But she goes, oh, no, it's no problem. Anytime. I said, what am I going to try on rec? And I said, my son's getting married at your church next week. And I said, but I've been told that you don't allow children in the church. Is that true? She goes, oh, no, good Lord, no. She goes, sir, the only thing we don't allow here is same-sex marriages. I said, I want to become a member. You know, but nothing against babies, you know, children. You know, come on, man. Any church that would do that, I'd burn that fucker to the ground. You know what I mean? I'd still be set on fire, wouldn't give a fuck. But anyway, so I sent this bitch a message back. Well, I said, the church doesn't seem to be saying that stuff. So what you stated is not true. Why would you lie to me like that? And then she started ratting out on me. Blah, 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 blah. This went on for 2 hours. I called her for everything from fucking low-life fucking gutter slut, white trash motherfucking no good. I said, you couldn't even be a whore because nobody would fuck you. I mean, I was bad. I was mean to her. I didn't give a fucking say that shit. Fuck her. So anyway, I get fitted for this fucking tuxedo, and it's fucking pink. Her mother picked the shit out, you know what I mean? And it was not the, you know, the her name. It was not the Reckon Finkelstein shit kid fucking wedding. It was the Finkelstein shit and the Reck wedding. The daughter was first before the boy. That's not how a wedding is set up. It's always the woman, the man's last name, then the woman last. You know?
Yeah.
So, generally. But anyway, her mother said all this shit. Then here's the funny part. My wife's family all showed up. Most of my family's dead and gone. But anyway, but my wife's family showed up at the wedding. I mean, a bunch of them. Her sister, brother-in-law, their kids, no cousins, all that shit. And they're, you know, they're partiers. They drink. They're cool people, you know, straight up fuck cool people. Well, anyway, her mother also made a statement, said there's no liquor. So no other one's bringing the baby, too. No babies and no liquor. Shit. As soon as we hit that motherfucking reception, I did, you know, we did our speeches to our children that they wanted. You know, I walked, you know, I said, you know, welcome to the family, blah, 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 blah. Now you're a wreck. So, you know, now we control you and everything else. That made her mommy pissed off even more. But I don't care what this bitch is. It's going to be a knockout, drag-out fight in this hotel. You know what I mean? So, anyway, my wife's sister has got the bartenders and waitstaff catering to them over there in three tables. Three tables, I'm saying about 20-something people. And every motherfucker there is drinking. Every one of them. They're all drinking. And hooting and howling. The more they drink, the louder they're getting. And I'm loving every minute of it. Because once the preacher was gone, because I knew him, he's a personal friend, I didn't want him to see me drinking, then, oh, my God. Well, you know who left the party last. So, you know.
It was
crazy.
Yeah.
It was funny. But see, man, shit like that. But anyway, you know, now I'm still the enemy. I'm the bad guy, you know. So, you know, okay, fine. In that case, my son never calls us. He never calls us, you know, never, very rarely. He might call his mom, never calls me. You know, and when he comes around the house, he talks to me like I'm shit, you know.
Really?
So, yeah. But I sit back and laugh behind my fucking right back. So, motherfucker, you live in the city of Springfield, Missouri. You know. Mm-hmm. You might have your house paid off, and it's all fine and fucking dandy. But you live in a subdivision. You're one of them fucking people. You know what I mean? You're the wannabe fucking leave it to fucking Beavers, you know? Yeah. You know, and you're in a city that's people die there every fucking day. You know? So. But I said, you know, that's cool. Whatever you want to do, party on, man. But I don't want to hear your bullshit no more. Matter of fact, last time we had a conversation, I jumped his ass. Don't come talk to me like that shit, man. Because I will fucking hurt you. You don't think you're going to hurt me, old man, you old crippled motherfucker, blah, blah, blah. Really? All right. Keep it up. Watch what I fucking pull up. It's like fucking a magic trick, the shit I can whip out on you. You know? you know? I mean, I love my kid, don't get me wrong, but, you know, my youngest son gets it, my oldest son don't. So, that's right. Like I said, you know, then the guilt, they'll still start feeling guilty. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but too late. Here right now. You know, I told your mom we should have fucking aborted you back then. Fuck. You know, if I knew they had a home kit back then, I would be have no children today. Swear to God. If I could have got a hold of that home kit. You know, so do it yourself. DIY, you know, abortion kit. Yeah. But that's how we are in life. And that's how we are in society, too. We simply forget about each other. We don't give a fuck about nobody else but ourselves. Selfish, no good motherfuckers. That's why this country's gone to fucking shit. Because they know people don't care. Oh, it'll be over. It'll go away. It'll go away. Don't worry about it. You know, shit happens and it goes away. Yeah. But there's shit coming ain't going to go away. And nobody seems to fucking get it. I mean, we don't get people like Joseph in there and fucking, you know, we need more Josephs. We ain't got enough. Most politicians sell their soul to the fucking devil, man. They do. They're not in it to fight for the people. Fuck the people. Fuck them. I'm here to make money. You know, I might tell you all the sweet little things like, you know, the check is in the mail. I won't come in your mouth. Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong scenario. Here's the other best fucking lies known to man. I'll lower taxes and bring jobs. So there you go. Ain't no fucking different, you know, in my opinion. So they don't swallow, and the check's not in the fucking mail. So, fuck, I got to smoke marijuana. Fuck it. It's the only way I can tolerate it, by smoking a little herb, you know? And that's why they legalized it, because they want us all to be fucking stupid. Fentanyl's turning fuckers into zombies. Have you seen that shit? How good that fentanyl is working out there in the streets. And all the dead bodies. People just dying from it. But I don't blame the drug. I don't blame the dealer either. I blame the idiot fucking doing the drugs. You know?
Yeah.
Whose fault is it?
Well, the dealer is perpetrating that, and it's the stupid people that takes it, obviously, no doubt. So they're both to blame, and society in general.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but I believe Gunslinger, the real motherfucker that's in fault, is a goddamn person that did it to themselves. They're the one that had that choice. The dealer didn't fucking do it. The dealer's going to try to sell it to him and tell him all the greatest things were, like a car salesman. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
But there again, it's the individual that makes that decision when it comes down to it. I mean, I'm not defending fucking dope dealers by far. That ain't happening, you know? Except my weed man. But anyway,
That was a good one.
Yeah, but you know, I live in Missouri and it's legal, so I can do that, you know. But yeah, you know, it's just one of the things. And that's the other thing, you know, this legalization of marijuana, it's all about tax money. It ain't got nothing to do with anything else. You know, they knew it, they should have legalized it a long fucking time ago. But see, these, you got to remember, we're dealing with slow people. You know, people around this country are slow.
Yeah, I noticed that. They are. They're slow to catch up, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's like all this shit, they're planning for the world takeover and all this shit. They're slow. They should have got it done. But I think if it does come to that, I really think they're going to make some pretty good mistakes. But the thing is, they've made some major mistakes even by some of the bullshit stories they've told. And the people bought it. 9/11, you know, fucking Honolulu, Hawaii, you know what I'm saying? All them fucking things, you know, the Tonkin incident, shit like that, you know what I'm saying? These lies they have told us, you know, and we believed it because of the government. We believed it. They know more than us. They're smarter. Then came the devil. The devil came to town. The devil goes by the name Internet. The Internet.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all got together. The Internet, the devil. The devil brought us together. So for all you Bible people out there, get a fucking grip. And, you know, Joseph, I know you do religion shit on your show at times, and that's cool. I have nothing, no disrespect to you whatsoever for that. But these ones that are on here on BTR, Christian. All of them are fucking Christian. You know.
Yeah, there's a lot of shows on here.
Yeah, but all Christians. You know, all Christian shit. Or some religious beliefs of some kind. You know. I mean, there was a show on one time. There was a show on one time.
That's all.
What's that?
I said, I just got guest speakers, that's all. They ask to come on, I bring them on, you know.
Right, yeah. Well, that's cool, yeah. Absolutely. I love coming on your show, man. You know. But I'm a rabble rouser. You know, I'm a shit star.
I like to give everybody a voice. Everybody, I don't discriminate against nobody, you know. Everybody gets a shot on my show. That's how I look at it.
I didn't think you liked me, man. I really didn't think you liked me. I thought you discriminated against me because I'm white.
What the fuck do you think I am?
But I'm privileged too, though. God damn it,
cracker.
That means something. Yeah, fuck right. You know what that means, don't you?
What? Cracker.
Yes. What the hell?
Crack it.
I'm not talking about salty, motherfucker. No, no.
You got it, man. You got it. We need one of those whipping sounds for background noise.
Yes.
You know, one of those things. You know what I mean?
I got a sound card running somewhere this far. I need to start keep rolling. But anyway, I'm going to start doing something after Laurie Ann's show on Sunday nights. I'm going to, you know, do a show after her. And I'm going to call it the Satan's Hour. You know. And, you know, put it down category of Satan worshiping, you know.
No.
The Church of Rick. The Church of Rick.
Yeah,
the devil
Church of
Rick. There you go.
Yeah, but no, I don't want to use
the Wrecking
that.
Church. No, the Wrecking Church.
Well, I used to do a church on Sunday night. I actually did a gig on that issue. Crazy Nation Radio church night with non-Reverend Ron Rutt. You know, so, yeah. I did. Boy, some people got offended by it. Some people liked it. Some people didn't like it. I thought it was funny. Like, at least I wasn't lying.
Everybody gets a voice. Everybody gets a voice on my show. Everybody.
Right. Yeah.
No matter who you are. Yeah. Except the LQ people. You know, BQ, LBGTQ. Nah, those they ain't got no time for that shit. You know?
What? Really?
You a man, you're a man. You a man, you're a man. Ain't none of this I want to be a woman
man,
today.
Dude, no. You don't know, man. No. I'm a trans, dude.
Why, you cross-dressed? You cross-dressed?
Yeah, man, do I. Fuck, dude. You don't know. You don't know how
that's
I have...
That's where you were. You weren't out there singing no band. You're out there freaking cross-dressed. You're out there walking the strip.
I was, yeah. I was. You know, I'm a stone-cold lesbian. I am a lesbian, and I have the right to be one. I have the right to be a lesbian because I love pussy. I just do. I love it. So, I'm a full-blown lesbian. Absolutely.
All right, I got to turn over a new. All right, just because you said that, I got to now let him go. That's it. I got to change my ways, you know?
Yeah, you might want to really consider that, when you got a chance. But
I got to do it.
No, I'm not gay, and no, I know. No, I don't know. Yeah, it's just a joke.
Oh, shit.
It's just a joke, everybody. Don't get wigging out. No. Oh, my God, Ron Rex gay. Yeah, I was when I was a kid.
He's a happy boy.
Yeah, every time 3:30 every afternoon, I turned a straight up faggot every day since I was a toddler. I was born this way, you know, and the TV told me I was. The TV said so. You know,
all right,
it did.
All right.
I met these people.
Well, TV is God.
But the TV, I met these people on the TV, and they're ones that convinced me that I was gay.
Oh,
all right. The name of these people was the Flintstones. You know, and they'll said we'll have a gay old time. So
and
since having fun slinger? Was gay, I had fun.
Please sling it. Where's the other guy at? Where's the other guy? What the hell is his name? I keep forgetting his name, man. The other guy.
Mikey? Mike?
Yeah.
Boyd.
Where's he at?
Mike?
What?
You're Boyd.
What?
You're not Mike.
Well,
you
mentioned my
buddy.
Name.
Was your name Mike?
What happened? You and Dave kiss and make up there, boys? You and Dave kiss and make up?
Him and who?
Who?
You and Dave, man. Remember Dave? You had it out with Dave one night.
Dave.
The Jew hater.
Oh, Dave. I don't know. Haven't seen him since.
Yeah, you were on talking to him the other night, man.
Are you talking about the Shabaka show you was on? Did you went to get your simulcast with?
Yeah. He hates Jews. It's just everything is just Jew. Like everything.
Yeah,
just, every
yeah,
time he comes on
right,
the show, it's
right.
Always a Jew. Always.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's cool. But yeah, that was kind of a fucked up show.
Yeah,
everything Whitey. Whitey did it all. That's
Jew.
The only thing they ever talk about.
It was always Whitey.
Shabaka. Oh yeah. We're responsible for all the slaves. You know that. We're responsible for all slavery.
Yeah, and we need to give them repercussions.
Yeah,
or whatever the fuck you call it. Give them all that free money. Give them all the free money for what we did to their ancestors.
Yep.
And
not bad. I never owned it, man.
You're a crackerhead. You're a crackerhead.
I don't know. I wasn't around back then. I don't know nothing about it.
I know,
I'm an innocent man. Yeah, so
I know. Isn't that bullshit?
About...
No.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, we give away
shit,
money
man.
To other fucking people for stupid shit anyway. Go ahead and give them some fucking money. Who gives a fuck? We support fucking wars we're not involved in, so what the fuck the difference?
Yeah.
Give them some money,
right?
Too. Fuck it. Who cares? Shit. It doesn't matter. Fuck, we had endless supply of fucking money. Fuck, we're the United Motherfucking States of America. Yeah, we're the United States of America. We are the pimp.
Man, when they did that COVID shit, I thought for sure they were going to crash the economy on purpose, just printing all that money. I thought they were just going to start giving it all away. You
man,
know?
Dude, they're never going to run out of money, dude. It'll never happen. It'll never happen, dude.
No,
fuck no. It's bullshit. It's all a bunch of bullshit. all the time. Well, the government's running close. Motherfucker. Close. I don't even like the way the fuck way the business structure goes. Close this motherfucker. Close it like a bad Walmart. Get the fuck out. Close this government. We don't need you motherfuckers, you know?
We don't, really.
Fuck me. You motherfuckers have made this thing so goddamn monstrosity. You know, it's fucking so big, motherfucker. You got more offices with fucking frogs fucking than I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Check your email. Check your email because I sent you a picture of that magazine that split down the side. See if you get it.
Okay, hang on a second.
I sent one from a tablet, and I'm going to send you this one. I don't know which one's going to come to you first.
You ain't sent me shit. You ain't sent me a
guy. I may not have got there yet.
Send my Morse code.
It has to go around the world three times before it can get to you.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it got a
lot. Things are out of control.
It says it's sending. Message sent.
Okay, Jay Clark's nervously.
My AT&T modem's fucked up. They sent me another one. I got to change that damn thing out. Wireless fucked up on it. Thanks, AT&T. Oof.
They suck.
Yeah, but that's the only one available out here.
I know.
You know what makes it even more sucking? Is that the lines out here, because it's wire, you know, copper.
Can you guys hear that?
Guess who owns the line? AT&T. I can't make it out here something. Can't hear nothing now.
AT&T.
And they own the lines, the phone lines. They've been buried for fucking 40 years up there. So you think they're going to improve on for the other one, the fiber optic? No. Fucking cheap bastards.
I was listening to Laurie talking over on Jay Clark's.
Yeah, I know. I was listening to that shit, too.
She's stoned out of her gourd, man.
Oh, come on, yeah. Every other word's fucked now and everything.
Yeah.
Fucking that.
Hey. Yeah. Call in to Jay Clark's. Hey, bring us all in. Call in to Jay Clark.
I can't because I'm on overtime myself, man. I don't think I can, boys. He's about out of time. I mean, I'll try. No, I can't do it. You're going to have me. You got 1 minute, 32 seconds. This one you guys can get into
minute.
It. He's got 1 minute left.
He's got 1 minute left?
Yeah, 1 minute, 20 seconds. 18,
yeah.
17,
all right,
16,
all go over there?
15. If we can get us over there, see if you can make it happen. I can't pipe it through the system. I don't know why. Because I'm on my showing us one computer. And I could if I had another computer, but I don't.
Yeah. No, he's already off.
Now, he doesn't do overtime very often, does he? I don't think he does at all.
Yeah, he's been on just damn near every night this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's about time for me to wrap it up then.
Did you get that email, Ron?
Yeah. What's that? No, I haven't checked it.
Did you get that email?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
You should have.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I've seen this. You sent me a copy of those already.
This is the new one. This is the new one. Yeah, this is the new one.
Okay.
This is the third one.
Oh, and it broke too?
Correct.
No shit.
Look at
Look at the little sign up there.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah,
I see it. Yeah. I see it.
Right down the fucking thing.
Do you think they would stop selling them, motherfuckers? You know what I mean? Won't they stop
what
selling
them?
I told them when I called.
There are these plastic fucking clips.
When I called
22,
in.
And they keep cracking. It's
no,
seams.
For nine millimeters.
Really?
Nine millimeter.
This is the third one. They're down in Malaysia. Yeah. They can't seem to put it together at one time. You know, making a mold like
hang
a
on.
Yeah.
This is the third one. Whose mag is it?
Mag? What are you talking about?
It's mine.
Gunslinger.
Magazine.
Magazines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who builds them? Who?
Who's the manufacturer?
It's a place called ETS Group. It's Elite Tactical Systems. Okay. And they supposedly have a lifetime guarantee on it. And I've talked to the lady today or yesterday, and she's supposed to refund my money or. I'm gonna make a deal. I said, I got eight of these motherfuckers. You send me eight boxes of fucking ammo. We'll call it good. And take your product offline, because it's endangering people's lives. What if that motherfucker was in that gun, and I had to use it for a self defense situation? The gun would fucking lock up. It'd lock the slide.
Well,
up.
who's to say that fucking a bullet couldn't fly and hit the fucking primer? You know, when it snaps open like that, the slug flies and hits something. It just hit, by fucking sheer luck, it hit the primer and fired the round. You know what I mean?
Fired that round or something. Should, I mean, fuck.
Yeah, exactly. So.
That thing should have been molded in one piece, okay, and not put together like a sandwich, like I said a while ago. There ain't no telling how much spring pressure is on that spring down there when that thing's got 17 rounds sitting on top of it.
All right.
The second spring, I've never found it. It might have flew out the window because it was kind of aiming at that window when I had it open. Because it could be outside in the backyard somewhere. I still found that motherfucker. And it's MIA. That motherfucker's MIA. They haven't even been in the gun. They haven't even been cycled through the gun yet. These are brand new motherfuckers right out of the fucking package.
How long was the ammo in it before it broke?
Maybe a week, 2 weeks at the most.
And then it broke.
And then it broke. Yeah. This third one slipped out of my double holder on my gun belt when I was taking it off. It only fell about a foot to the floor, hit the carpet, and exploded in fucking 9mm shells all over the fucking living room here. And you can see it. You can see where it split, where it hit on that corner. And just right down that fucking seam. That's a design flaw. It's got to be. By putting two pieces together and not taking into consideration the pressure that spring is sprung in down there. I guarantee you if that spring was to hit you in the head, it'd give you a hell of a headache. If it launches over there.
Yeah.
You know? It'd give you a hell of a headache.
Oh, shit.
Maybe they're using too much of a spring in it. More than what they need.
Plastic.
No, it's the plastic, man. The plastic shit.
It's the plastic. You gotta have spring pressure to push that shell up into the chamber as you're firing.
Right.
Pow, pow.
Well, I understand.
So
you
gotta have a big.
You know, it could be. It could be too strong of a spring, you know.
Yeah, but that plastic board. I'm telling you, it's that seam. That plastic, brother. That plastic is not melting together. It's kind of like I glued it together instead of impregnated plastic. Right.
Well, anyway, it's not
tomorrow.
Bonding.
Tomorrow I'll be at Tannyville School for the Lodge Ministries to bring Santa. To Tannyville School, I'll be at 302 Myrtle Street tomorrow from 5 to 7:30. I'll show my face in Pyro Musical by Encore Pyro. Fireworks at 7:30. Fireworks for the fucking Christmas. I never knew there was fireworks in Christmas time.
Hey, hey, boy, I sent you this. I sent you those pictures. It's in your mail. It'll be there in a few seconds. You can see it. It's clear, clear day. Split right down
right,
that fucking
right glued together.
Even got
right
a little note.
Yeah.
Right where it's glued together. Even got a little sign saying, with an arrow saying, right there. And you can see the opening. Fucking crazy. I mean, if you got into a self-defense situation and had to use one of them fucking mags, you'd be dead.
Well, you're both be on the ground.
They would be liable.
Papa.
Yeah.
Gum jammer.
They're liable. Yeah, they're liable for putting me into a goddamn dangerous situation by their defective product. Who do you report defective products to? Better Business Bureau?
Yeah,
they don't come through. I'm
gonna
goddamn
shit.
You
report
to
them. If you tell them you're a liberal,
you
know, tell them you're fucking liberal. Do something about it.
Hey, report it to some of the major gun websites.
Yeah, I want to run them on social media if they don't do something about it. You know, social media is pretty fucking powerful. Facebook and their own Facebook and Twitter and or X or whatever it is. I'll run these motherfuckers. You better make me a goddamn sweet deal.
Have any of you guys seen on Facebook these ads coming out, free shit, free box of survival shit, or a free Donald Trump fucking bar? Y'all seen those? You know that's all bullshit. You know, that's all bullshit.
Shit.
I don't believe it.
Yeah. No.
Unbelievable. Matter of fact, there's one popped up on YouTube today, on YouTube. It's saying Dr. Oz has cured fucking diabetes and that the big pharma company beat his ass and he had a black eye and all kinds of shit, man. And me and my sister was sitting there and I was watching this shit. I said, yeah. He looked at me and goes, that's the AI, man. I said, yeah, the mouth ain't, you know, saying the same words his lips are saying, you know. So, like an old Chinese movie. Yeah. Oh, too funny. Fucking people.
Well, see, there was one on Facebook about the ammunition and everything. I think it was Freedom Ammunition, but somebody was putting a scam there on it saying, going out of business sale, a generation of our families going a family-owned business, and we got to close our doors. All things are on sale for $2.99. Boxes of fucking 7 to 9 mils for $2.99, 50 rounds. Yeah, right.
Yeah. I can't
report them as scam because it is a scam. I even call Freedom's Arms and they say, that's not us. That's somebody trying to scam them. So it's a legit company, Freedom Arms. So yeah, I said, yeah, we know about that Facebook page. Yeah, so I called them, verified.
Yeah.
I said, I'm sorry, son. They'll do anything.
You know, I didn't do it today, but I was going to go online and look around and see if I can find where to go, how to stop fucking solicitors, callers, you know, phone solicitors. There's got to be a way to stop them motherfuckers. You know what I mean? I'm going to figure it out. Because, I mean, I could have bought, you know, I got one fucking chick today. She was straight up fucking Karen. And she was an American, too. They switched me to an American chick. She started asking me some stupid-ass questions. No, I don't think so. What the fuck what I'm talking about. I said, the fucking people called in, they told me this shit was free. Oh, it's not free. I said, what do you mean it ain't fucking free? I said, well, this phone call ain't free either, and you owe me some money. You called me, motherfucker, you know? Ain't like I called you. I wasn't looking for this shit. You fucking called me. So, anyway, she hung up on me, fucking fat cunt. But she heard that part. She heard the word fat cunt, you know. Fuck that whore.
Well,
stupid bitch.
It's just like these advertisers like that are so fucking stupid. It's if you go on YouTube and you can see, what is he called? Somalia pirates.
Mm-hmm.
And these motherfuckers try to attack warships. They tried to attack a U.S. warship. How stupid is that? They were blown out of the water.
They actually tried to attack it. A U.S. warship. It's like three or four boats trying to, bitty boats, trying to attack a warship. They blew them out of the goddamn. They blew them out of the goddamn water.
It's fucking retarded.
So, no doubt. They're retarded.
So Joseph,
man, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Joseph, so what's going on with you running? What you're running for? You're running for House, ain't you, or some shit?
Yes, the Taylor House of Representatives. Yep, yes, sir.
Right on. So when's the election date for that? Well, I guess during the big election shit.
Primary is in March. Then the general election is in November. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
My name's on the ballot, though. My name is officially on the ballot.
You got there. Right on, cuz.
Yeah.
At least you got that going for you, you know?
Yeah, I'm on it. So my name will be there when they go to vote.
Could you see me going to fucking try to get voted into an office? Good God. Wow.
Well,
they thought Trump
wouldn't
was
have
bad.
You.
They thought Trump was bad.
Go out and play your drums for them.
I will.
Say free concert
Bungle
every Friday
in the
night.
Jungle will be the first song I play. It's like Bungo in the Jungle.
Yeah, you nominated me at the convention. You'll be my guest at the convention.
All right.
You're my entertainment guest. Yeah, man.
All right. Yeah.
I like that.
You know, your death metal rocker, you know, Ron Rex with, you know, House.
Yeah. we're going to bring the house of pain down.
Yeah. All right, you motherfuckers, let me tell you tonight, this is serious heavy metal rock and roll. Joe Gibson don't fuck around, so don't be a fucking punk or a chump. Listen to the man, every word he fucking says. If you don't, you're a fucking punk.
Don't fuck around. I like that. Don't fuck around, Joe.
You know, I guarantee this motherfucker won't fucking hike taxes up. He won't fucking leave you in charge.
No, we're abolishing taxes,
man.
We're abolishing.
He will not let liberal retards and motherfuckers run your fucking life, control your school, control your fire departments, your police stations, your whorehouses and casinos. I will stop them from fucking with them all. We'll stop all
and your dog.
No, that's not going to be regulated no more. Everything will be completely on its fucking own, out of control. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Live life for its fucking fullest. Jack, can you see me being a speechwriter for a fucking candidate of anything?
Freedom.
Yeah, fuck.